జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయశరణారవిందం భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం తెలియలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అయందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సౌ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయ తపత్ర నేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్ర వేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృత దుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతడాజయద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనా బోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేడీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవైర్గే సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతియం సామగాహం ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఇంద్ర ఉచ విశుద్ధసత్వం తమధామ శాంతం తవోమయం దుస్రజస్తమస్కం మాయామయోయం గుణసంప్రవాహో న విద్యతేతే అగ్రహణానుబంధాం కుతోను తద్ధేతవమీషల్కృత లోభాదయో యే అభుదలింగభావ తదాపి దండం భగవాన్ భిమర్తి ధర్మస్య గుప్తే ఖల నిగ్రహాయాం. పితా గురుస్త్వం జగదామదీశో దురత్తయ కాలముపాత్తదండ హితాయ స్వేచ్ఛాదన విసమీహసే మానం విధున్వన్ జగదీశమానినాం. ఏ మధ్యుదాజ్ఞా జగదీశమానినాం స్వాం వీక్షకాలే అభయమాశుతన్మదం హిత్వార్య మార్గం ప్రపజంద్యపస్మయ ఈహాఖలానామపి తే అనుశాసనం తేనుశాసనం. సో దాట్ ఈస్ ది వర్డ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ 4, 5, 6 and 7 విచ్ వీ డిస్కస్డ్ యెస్టర్డే అబౌట్ ఇంద్రస్తుతి ఇన్ ది after the Govardhana hill pastimes. Basically, you can see that Indra has come to his senses now after this Govardhana pastime. Govardhana pastime. And he mentions there that before earlier, త్వం వీక్షకాలే భజమాశు భయమాశు తన్మదం. this Kala Shakti, which we talked yesterday, time, Krishna's most powerful weapon is time. Nobody can beat that, isn't it? Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, like that, many, many big personalities, they had to surrender to that. There's no choice there. So, that Kala Shakti, he is saying here, Indra is saying here, that when you want to purify, Krishna has no animosity towards anyone. But using this power of time, that he purifies people in different ways. Because how? It is through time we pass our different births. Hundreds of lifetimes we go through in the process of time. So time is nothing but a purificatory process in which we get recycled in body after body after body, right? So after hundreds of births, we come to realize that it is better to take Krishna shelter. We come to that understanding. It is better to surrender, better to take Krishna shelter. And Indra says here that when Krishna comes personally here and performs these pastimes here, that by little understanding of that, you will start realizing that Krishna is a shelter. Krishna is more of a shelter, and there is nothing to be frightened about anything in this world. How does that happen? When Krishna makes us realize that our identification is not with the body, but with the consciousness that we are, immediately the fear of material existence leaves us. Material existence, you do identification with the material body, isn't it? So, but what is required here? That's what he is saying here. You see, if you look at that verse, you will see what is said in that verse. The first chapter. So Kala Shaktya, 22nd verse. Puraiva Pumsa Vadrado Dharaj Jvaro Bhavabhiramshay Rudrushubha Janyadam Sayavadurvya Bharam Ishwara Ishwara So Kala Shaktya Kshavayam Chared Bhuvi. That one line, So Kala Shaktya Kshavayam Chared Bhuvi. It is through the force of time. First canto, first chapter. 10th canto, first chapter. 10:1:22. Yeah. So Kala Shaktya Kshavayam Charet Bhuvi. It is through the power of this time that this world is moving. Power of this time, the world is moving. So Kala Shaktya Kshavayam Charet Bhuvi. And after saying that, see here what he is saying, Indra saying, this was in the first chapter, who said that? Shukha Brahmarshi says that about Krishna. And now Indra is saying in the 7th verse, Tvam Vikshakale Abhayamashu Tanmadam. Tvam Vikshakale Abhayamashu Tanmadam. But you will understand this Kala Shakti only those who are observant of it. Tvam Viksha. Viksha means one who observes that. Only they will understand that, this Kala Shakti. How Kalam controls this world. That's the important thing. Tvam Kala Viksha. Tvam Viksha Kale Abhayamashu Tanmadam. He is saying there that with the Tvam Viksha. Tvam Viksha means you have to look at Krishna's pastimes. Tvam Viksha. And a little bit of Krishna's glories comes and falls in our ears, then we will understand. We will understand it. Because earlier it mentioned there that these Krishna's pastimes have an importance in the sense that it takes away all karma vasana from inside. Vasanas goes away from inside. Similarly, when you start giving a little bit more attention to the different leelas in the 10th canto, very quickly this fear of material existence will also leave us. And everyone will feel sheltered there. With that, he says here, Kale abhayam ashu tan madam. With that, false pride, ahankaram inside will go. Ahankaram inside will also go. What is this tanmadam? Tanmadam means, see, Indra uses the word tanmadam. Kale abhayamashu tanmadam. Tanmadam will go. Tanmadam, why is tanmadam? I have a lot of things to do in this world. Thinking like that. A lot of things to do in this world. Thinking like that. And we feel that by doing karmam, we will feel shelter in this world. That is our avidya inside. That is very strong in everybody. That if I don't act, how will things go in this world? How will I be, how will I survive here? And therefore, we are performing karmam in this world only for one purpose. To feel happy and not to feel distress. Isn't it? To become happy and not to feel distress, we are busy with the different karmam. There is no other purpose than that. Everyone does for that purpose only, isn't it? But with this understanding that Krishna is maintaining everything, Krishna is looking after, Krishna will take care of everything, I don't have to do anything here very much, and always feeling under shelter of Krishna. Krishna is looking after everybody, why should he not look after me as well? In that way, then you will start realizing that my responsibility in this world is very limited actually. It's only foolish to think that I have so much a lot of responsibility and take up everything on my shoulders to think that I have to do all these things. But that's not true. That is what this pastime is showing to us. So little by little, that feeling of I am in me, which is making me feel that I have to do this, I have to do that, if I don't do this, what will happen? This feeling inside will weaken. It won't be strong anymore. And that is considered to be ajnanam. The feeling that I have to do everything, I have to manage, if I don't do it, what will happen? This is very deep-rooted in everybody. And that necessity to feel oneself responsible for so many things in this world will slowly weaken itself and will start realizing that that is a ignorance in me, what is actually causing me to think like that. So little by little, by coming under Krishna's shelter, that ajnanam will leave us. Which ajnanam? The ajnanam thinking that I am the one who is running this world. Without me, all problems will come. All this kind of understanding will slowly disappear. So, and that is Krishna's shelter. And very quickly, Krishna will take a person to that state, one who has accepted Krishna's authority. So, and it will come to a stage at the end, without doing any karmam, simply able to live in this world under the shelter of Krishna. Simply able to live in this world under the shelter of Krishna without doing any karmam here. That is why he says that that state is Bhagavata Dharma. That state is Bhagavata Dharma. That able to feel in Krishna's shelter and not feeling much of a responsibility in this world towards anyone and towards anything. Becoming released from that illusion that we are responsible for so many things here. And that is a big avidya inside, but it's not easy to take it out from inside. Aji Margam Prabhajandi. And he says here, he comes to that state of, if you look at the next verse, that is what Indra is saying there. See, in that seventh verse itself, the second part, Hitva Aryamargam Prabhajandi Pasmaya Prabhajandi Apasmaya Iha Khalanam Abite Anushasanam. Those two lines. Hitva Aryamargam Prabhajandi Apasmaya Iha Khalanam Abite Anushasanam means that Aryamargam, what is Aryamargam? Aryamargam is Bhagavata Dharma. Hitva Aryamargam, then you can say Bhakti Margam or Bhagavata Dharma, and you become dependent on that, on this bhakti process or on the Bhagavata Dharma. And with that, Iha Khalanam Abhi Te Anushasanam. Therefore, when Krishna punishes somebody, what happens? He comes to this realization, which means he comes to bhakti or comes to Bhagavata Dharma. So, therefore, he says here, people like me who are proud and puffed up, even though you are punishing us, the end result is good, he is saying. It is a pastime for you, but for us it is beneficial. Indra is saying this too. Now he is little by little opening up himself. You see how the ignorance works within. Earlier he was thinking about Krishna. He is ordinary human being. Who is he to stop my sacrifice, which was meant for me? That's how he thought. But when this Govardhana pastime happened, Indra realized that he is nobody in front of Krishna. And he started thinking that he has been completely in a state where he felt that Krishna is not giving any importance to him. And with the result, he realized that he has misunderstood things about Krishna. That the cowherd boys, it was in a very silent way of saying to Indra that I can look after many, many people, not only you. That was a hidden message in that to Indra. Indra started realizing that the cowherd boys were not upset, gopis were not upset, nobody was upset in Vrindavanam. And Krishna himself was not upset. But Indra got the message that I can't do anything with Krishna. Krishna is too powerful, and he was not affected by the heavy rainfall. Even the inhabitants of Rajama also were in a blissful state when they came out after the Govardhana pastime. So that's why he is saying here that if you study carefully these prayers, Indra's prayers, you will see, even though Indra is in Satugunam, still that arrogance, ego inside has not gone away. And therefore he is saying, Stvam te madhvidatnya jagadishamaninam Tvam ichagale abhayamashu tanmadam Hitvaryamargam prabhajandhyabasmaya Iha khalanam abhidenu shasanam. When you are punishing me like this, it actually purifies me. Because when the false ego disappears, he will know it himself, that he feels that he was an illusion before. He was in that illusion that he is a controller, or he is the one who gives results to the people's work and all that kind of things. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, as I mentioned yesterday also, that there are three phases in the Bhagavad Gita. The first 5-6 chapters, all referring to karma, is only to tell us that purification is necessary first. And as you evolve further, then you go into the higher stage of Antaryami realization. And after that, when you are further higher evolved, highly evolved people, it is for them Sarvadharman Parityaja comes. It's logical, isn't it? Otherwise, why you should write whole Bhagavad Gita and they say Sarvadharman Parityaja? People are saying, lot of devotees have said like this. Because they are not understood the way Bhagavad Gita, how things flow in Bhagavad Gita. There is a flow in the Bhagavad Gita. And that flow is like this, that first chapters are talking about an ordinary life in this world. That too based on dharma, religious principles. Where people worship demigods, if you have desires, you worship them, and mutually you offer respects to them, and in return they provide our necessities, and living that life, and through that is referred to as Karma Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. And Karma Yogam, Krishna has given a detailed explanation in the first six chapters to tell us that it's necessary to go through this process to purify oneself. After that purification only, the realization of Antaryami comes. Krishna has Antaryami inside. That is the next six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is after that Antaryami realization is this Sarvadharman Parityaja comes. Because after Antaryami realization, there is nothing left in this world except to surrender to Krishna. Exactly like in the Bhagavatam, like in the 12th canto, Ashrayam. Isn't it? After going through the whole 11 cantos, even after liberation, which is Antaryami realization equivalent in the Bhagavatam, it is after that Ashrayam, shelter. So Sarvadharman Parityaja is nothing but the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, Ashrayam. Ashrayam is equivalent to Sarvadharman Parityaja. So it is at that stage we can talk about Sarvadharman Parityaja. Before that, if you say Sarvadharman Parityaja, Sarvadharman Parityaja, it will not happen. It's not possible because the previous vasanas, the previous prarabdham, karmam, all these things are behind us. And we haven't even come to the realization of the Antaryami. What to talk about Sarvadharman Parityaja? So, here also, in the same way, you can see that he says here, Aryamargam hitva Aryamargam prabhajandi abasmaya. What is this Aryamargam prabhajandi? Aryamargam is Bhagavata Dharma. So they will reach ones who have observed these things like the way Indra has spoken here. Eventually, he is saying here, he will come to Bhagavata Dharma. Hitva Aryamargam, Prabhajandi Abasmaya. Then, Iha Khalana Abhide Anushasanam. So, Abasmaya means, he gets completely free from the ignorance. Everything what we do in this world is due to ignorance. Most of the thing what we do is ignorance, isn't it? Nothing is done in knowledge, everything is done in ignorance. So, once that ignorance goes away, then that is what he is saying here. That, Iha Khalanam Abhidenu Shasanam. That, your desire is like that. Iha Khalanam Abhidenu Shasanam. That, even very wicked people, bring them under his control. Krishna wants to bring them under his control. And what else? And give them shelter. Purify them, bring them under control, and give them shelter. That is your process. And making everyone else to live in this world in a proper way and in a happy state. Iha. And I understand that. Indra says, I understand that. But only thing is, he says, I only understood it now. I didn't understand that before. And you have done all these things in order to put me in the right track, Indra says. You have done all these things in order to put me in the right track. And I can, it is clear for me now, he says. Look at the next verse. Sattvam mamaishwaryam madapludasya kridagasaste vidusha prabhavam kshandam prabhodarhasimuta jedasa meivam punar bhun madirishame sati. సత్వం మమైశ్వర్యమదప్లదస్య కృదాగసస్తే కృదాగసస్తే విదుష ప్రభావం క్షంతుం ప్రబోధర్హసి మూఢ చేదస చేతసో మైవం పునర్భూన్మదిరీశమే సతి. మై మెయిన్ మిస్టేక్ వాస్ ఐ గాట్ టు ప్రౌడ్ ఆఫ్ మై ఆపులెన్స్ ఇన్ ద హెవెన్లీ ప్లానెట్స్. ఇంద్రస్ ఆపులెన్స్ ఈజ్ సో హై, అండ్ వెన్ యూ రీడ్ ఇన్ ద పురాణస్ యూ విల్ సీ హౌ ఇంద్రస్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ దేర్. అండ్ because of that I became very proud because of this opulence is there, and therefore I committed this offenses to you, and I didn't know about you before, about your position. And he says here mootha chetasa means I was a mootha means ignorant idiot. I was an idiot. I didn't know anything about it, and it was my consciousness I didn't know. So my apologies and forgive me for what I have done. And never again such a thought occurs in me. That was the prayer. Never again such a thought to develop inside. That was his prayer. So the mistake I have committed, I have done that. Because I have done that without knowledge, therefore you have to forgive me. If somebody commits a mistake in ignorance, you have to forgive them. What else can be done? Deliberately, if somebody does something, that's a different thing. But someone who is ignorant and doing a lot of nonsense because of ignorance, then it should be forgiven. People in knowledge should forgive them. Like an animal sometimes acts, isn't it? It's not very different than that. Animal does in ignorance many things. So similarly, if human society also, in ignorance if they do something, and if they are willing to change and recognize that they have done that in ignorance, then they should be forgiven. but, he says there, never again such a thought occur in my mind. For what I have done to you. Such a thought, let it not happen to me again. So, it was a proper apology from Indra's side, isn't it? About you, he says to Krishna, about you or about those who are your devotees, I don't develop any kind of ill feeling in my mind, and kubuddhi means crooked intelligence in me, or Malsarabuddhi. Malsarabuddhi means competing with them. That's what happened. He thought, because they stopped the sacrifice, Govardhana sacrifice, Indra thought I should punish them. That's how he started with the thunder and lightning and heavy showers and all that. What you see in the Govardhana pastime. Because it was a Malsarabuddhi. Then I have to teach these people a lesson. Why did they stop their sacrifice to me? Not realizing that they were all Krishna's devotees. So he's saying there that Malsara Buddhi should never happen to me again. Next words. Tavavadaro ayam atoksha jeha Swayambharanam uru bharajanmanam Samobadinam abhavaya deva bhavaya yushmacharananu vartinam. Charananu vartinam. Then everyone should get an opportunity to come to you and able to surrender to you. You should give them that opportunity. And these pastimes what you are performing in this world is for everybody's benefit, for future also. So people can notice these things what happened, and from that they can learn that surrendering to Krishna is the right thing to do. This realization can come to them. And is that not that purpose that you have performed these pastimes? Indra is saying there. Therefore, I would like to remain as a devotee, your devotee in future, rather than one who is rebellious and who wanted to challenge your authority. Such a thought should never happen to me again. And bless me with that, he's saying in that verse, in the ninth verse. Then he's saying, నమస్తుభ్యం భగవదే నమస్తుభ్యం భగవదే పురుషాయ మహాత్మని వాసుదేవాయ కృష్ణాయ సాత్వరాం పదయే నమాం. నమస్తుభ్యం భగవదే పురుషాయ మహాత్మని వాసుదేవాయ కృష్ణాయ సాత్వరాం పదయే నమాం. అగైన్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఒబేసాన్సెస్ టు కృష్ణ. అండ్ దెన్ హి సేస్ స్వచ్ఛందోమాత దేహాయ విశుద్ధ జ్ఞానమూర్తయే సర్వస్మై సర్వబీజాయ సర్వభూతాత్మనే నమః. డిఫరెంట్ వేస్ ఇంద్ర ఇస్ రికగ్నైజింగ్ కృష్ణస్ పొజిషన్. హి సేయింగ్ టు హిమ్ దట్ హూ ఆర్ యూ? హి సేస్ సర్వభూతాత్మనే నమః. హూ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ యాజ్ ది లివింగ్ ఫోర్స్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ యాజ్ ది లివింగ్ ఫోర్స్ ద చైతన్యం ఆర్ ద లివింగ్ ఫోర్స్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ విచ్ మీన్స్ in everyone who is present inside as that aham 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 inside everybody who is present, that awareness inside, pure consciousness in the form of awareness, and remaining inside everyone as the antaryami and controls everyone's life at every moment, to that supreme lord and who is the controller of everyone, I am paying my obeisances again and again.
Svachando vata dehaya vishuddha jnana murtaye sarvasmai sarva bijaya
sarva bhodalpane nama. Sarva bhodalpane nama. And it, within me also, Indra is saying, within me also, as consciousness, it's you who is present. Indra is acknowledging that. Within me also, as consciousness, and make me feel that I am existing, that awareness, who is that? That is Krishna, isn't it? And therefore, please make me to feel this consciousness in such a way that you are the one who is inside me and controlling my existence and life in this world, Natha.
స్వచ్ఛందోమాత దేహాయ విశుద్ధ జ్ఞానమూర్తయే సర్వస్మై సర్వభూజాయ సర్వభూతాత్మనే నమః. సర్వభూతాత్మనే నమః. సో
అండ్ దెన్ హి సేస్ హియర్ ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ దట్
టు వర్సెస్ మయేదం భగవాన్ గోష్ఠ ఆశాయాసారవాయుభీం చేష్టితం విహదే యజ్ఞే మానినా తీవ్రమన్యునాం త్వయేషానుగృహీతోస్మి ద్వస్థస్తంభో వృదోధ్యమ ఈశ్వరం గురు ఆత్మానం త్వామహం శరణం గదాః. విత్ దోస్ టు వర్సెస్ ఇంద్ర ఫినిషెస్ దట్
స్తుతి. ఇంద్ర స్తుతి ఫినిషెస్ దట్.
నమః సచ్చందోవాత మయేదం భగవాన్ గోష్ఠ ఆశాయాసార వాయుభి చేష్టితం విహదే యజ్ఞే మానినా తీవ్రమన్యునాం త్వయేషానుగృహీతోస్మి ద్వస్థస్తంభో వృదోధ్యమ ఈశ్వరం గురు ఆత్మానం త్వామహం శరణం గదాః.
శరణం గదాః. ఐ హావ్ డన్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ నాన్ సెన్స్. ఇంద్ర ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ద సాక్రిఫైస్ విచ్ వాజ్ మెంట్ ఫార్ మీ, ఐ థాట్ యూ హ్యావ్ స్టాప్ దాట్, అండ్ థింకింగ్ లైక్ దాట్ ఐ హావ్ కమిటెడ్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఒఫెన్సెస్ టు యూ. I have committed a lot of offenses to you. I know that you are aware of that. But you are not taking it as an offense. Although what I have done is an offense, you are not taking it as an offense. Because when you were doing all these things, your intention was to purify me. Therefore you have done this. It was for my purification this Govardhana Leela has happened. But in spite of that, I have to stress this point. Indra says, I have done a serious offense. What I have done? So, because of this, you had come here and blessed me with that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done this. Because I committed this offense, therefore you had taken the special effort to come, lift the Govardhana hill and chastise me in this way, and ultimately you have blessed me by purifying me. That's what word there, dvastastambham. She says, toyesha anugrahidosmi dvastastambho vrado udhyama isharam guru atmanam tam aham sharanam gada. Dvastastambham means what? Stambham means this ahangaram or ego, arrogance inside, or false pride. It's like a pillar. It's always compared to a pillar. And it is to this pillar all other things are tied inside us. All our anger, lust, greed, and competition, and pride, arrogance, anger, krodham, lobham, moham, everything is because of this ahangaram. Ahangaram is not there, none of the other things are there. When we talk about, you remember Krishna mentions this, in the Ekadasha Skanda very clearly he says, not in one place, many, many places he says, if ahangaram is not there, no other bad things will be there inside. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All, in order for all that to exist, ahangaram is necessary. But that ahangaram, therefore, because everything is tied to ahangaram, it is considered to be like a pillar inside. And therefore it is called stambham there. See that word? Stambham. Dvastam means smashing that pillar. Smashing that pillar. Dvastastambham. He says, dvastastambho vrudodhyama. He says there, dvastastambham. And dvastastambham, that stambham is completely smashed. That pillar is totally smashed now. And one thing I have understood, I don't have to do anything on my own here. And because if I try to do anything, something of my own, if I make decisions, start doing, it will all end up like this. Like the way it happened with the way. Because vasanas inside, Devendra is saying there, that will encourage me to act in these ways, become offensive to you. And I'll become very offensive to you by doing that. But now I have understood, I don't have to do anything. If I just remain surrendered to you, there is nothing more required than that. So, all I have to do is, whatever you are instructing me to do, I just have to do that. That's all I have to do here. On my own, I don't have to think and make new plans here and try to lord it over the material nature. And all these things, I don't have to do anything. From my this experience, I have understood. Therefore, from now on, he says to Krishna, Devendra says to Krishna, from now on, please take away this kartrutvam from me, that I am the doer. Remove that from me. And not encourage me anymore to put my own effort and endeavor in doing things in this world. That was the next prayer. Look at the verse 13. Toyesha anugrahidosmi dvastastambho vrudodhyama Isharam guru almanam tvamaham sharanam gadaha. Isharam guru almanam tvamaham sharanam gadaha. He says there. He says, remember these three things. Ishvara, guru, atma. You will see this in the Ekadasham also. Isn't it? Krishna says to Uddhava that, what was that verse? Ishvara, guru, atmaiva. He says. Look at that Ekadasham. The three things comes together. Ishvara, guru, atmaiva, purushasya, visheshada. Pratyakshena, anumanenam, anumena, shreyasa, anuvindade. That's the verse. If you look at Ekadasham, in the same thing Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava says about Krishna, Ishvara Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. It's a verse that comes in the
sincerely, I think Ishwaro Gurura Alpaiva If we look at 7th chapter, that's where Uddhava Gita begins. 7th chapter, 11:7, 20 verse. Krishna used exactly the same words what Indra is using here. Verse 20. Atmano gurir atmaiva purushasya visheshada yat pratyaksha anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Says Krishna says, actually, spiritual master is our own self. Our own self is the spiritual master. And for one, he's the guru. For one, the guru is himself. Himself, right? Because through pratyaksham, through anumanam, he, pratyaksham means direct perception, anumanam means inference. Through these two processes, one gets clarity in spiritual life and he develops spiritually in the future. He gets rid of, so you can see, Atmana Guru Atmaiva, he says here, and here Indra says, Ishwaro Guru Atmanam Tvam Aham Sharanam Gata. This, what Indra is saying there is also confirmed, Krishna confirms that later in Ekadasham, right? So, here, you'll notice there, Ishwaro Guru Atmaiva. These are three words used in Vedantam a lot. Ishwara, Guru and Atma. And reminding all these things, he's saying here, Ishwara means one who looks after and controls this material nature. That is Ishwara's role. When Krishna is controlling the material nature, he is addressed as Ishwara. That's when the Ishwara title comes to Krishna. Which means, who is capable of keeping this creation in whichever way he likes it. It cannot go out of control. It's always in his control. Like you can see, the planets are on the track. And living entities are able to survive here. All this requires some control from the top. And that is that power of Ishwara. You can see in the Bhagavad Gita also. Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. He controls the whole creation. He controls every living entity from within the heart. Present inside all of us. Sarvabhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Maya. That verse. So, Ishwara role of Krishna, Ishwara's role of Krishna is controlling, basically. The controlling principle, you can say. So, what else can he do? He can control, and any time when he wants it, he is able to finish it up also. Every one of us, isn't it? Through the process of time. He controls us in such a way, and through the agency of time, he decides this entity need not exist anymore, and that's finished with that. So I surrender to that Ishwara, he says. I am not the Ishwara, because he was thinking that he is the Ishwara. This is how avidya builds up in a person. He starts thinking I am the Ishwara, but now I am convinced that I am not the Ishwara, says Indra. Indra says, because I realize now, it is you who is even keeping me going. What to talk about me running others? Even I am surviving in this body and I am living in this way is because of you, because you are sitting inside me and controlling my life as well, isn't it? Then, that is Ishwara. So, three things he has spoken there. Ishwara, Guru, Atma. Guru, what is that? Guru means, what it means here is, one who guides you in the right path in life. That's Guru. One who directs you in the right path in this life. You remember? Ajnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilidam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. So Guru's role is that, to put us in the right path all the time, isn't it? So you have taken away all the ignorance from me, ajnanati mirandasya, and you have opened my eyes to open up and see things properly. That is the role of the Guru. Krishna has acted here as a Guru of Indra in this particular pastime. Because the Guru's role, Krishna has performed there. Taken out the ignorance in Indra and made him realize his actual state. That is the Guru's role. That's what Krishna has done there. Isn't it? Therefore he is saying, you are the Guru. You are my Guru for that reason. And you have opened my eyes now, therefore, in future also, you have to remember, I have to remember that you are my Guru, and you have to guide me further also in my future life, whatever happens in me, isn't it? I recognize that, Indra says there. Then, third thing he says, first thing Ishvara, then Guru, then the last thing he says, Almanam. Almanam means, that, what does Almana means? I realize that actually me, whom I am referring to as Alma, it's you. Almanam, he says. Almanam says, because you are present inside me as my awareness all the time, as my consciousness. Whenever I feel experiencing that I am inside, what you would remember is this awareness is independent of everything else. It's independent of the body, independent of the mind, independent of the intelligence, independent of the senses, everything. How do you know that? Proof is this. Say for example, I don't need eyes to become aware of me, do I? I don't see myself with the eyes and see if I am existing or not. That's not how I say. If the even if I lose my eyes, still I will say I am existing, awareness. That shows that my awareness is independent of the senses. Right? I don't have to smell myself to see, check whether I am existing or not. Similarly, I don't have to hear about me if I am existing or not. All these are very plain fact. Is it not? I don't have to hear about me. I don't have to smell me. I don't have to see me. I don't have to hear about me. I don't have to taste me. So all the five senses are not required to know about my own existence. That's a proof. To show that my awareness is independent of my senses. Is it not? Is that not clear? My existence or my awareness of my existence is independent of all the senses. Everything else in this world, I need senses to know. If I want to see somebody, I need my senses, eyes to see. I have to touch. I have to smell. I have to taste. All other things in this world. As far as awareness is concerned, my existence is concerned, I don't need any help from any senses. Number one. Now, if you leave behind that, take the subtle body, which is mind, intelligence, false ego, ahankaram, chittam, four things, isn't it? I don't even need a mind to know that I am existing without the help of the mind. And I don't need to look into shastram, pramanam, other things and verify to confirm that I am existing. Therefore, I don't need buddhi also. Buddhi is required when you want to study something and to analyze things and to come to a conclusion, isn't it? That's when you require the buddhi. Even buddhi is not required to confirm that I am existing. This awareness of my existence is in me and that's Krishna. That's the point Indra is stressing here. That is what word Almanam is talking about. Toyeshanu grihi dosmi Dostastambho vrudhodhyama Ishwaram guru almanam Tvamaham sharanam gadaha. Alma swarupam. You are, it is you in me making me feel of my existence. If you are not there, I won't feel my existence. This is Krishna's role, isn't it? This is something which is science is not able to understand somehow. Then things are totally different than the way they think about all these things. They keep on researching and experiencing. The research and experience is the answer. You are playing with fire now. Krishna is inside all of us. Inside that scientist also who is probing, who is allowing him to probe, is also Krishna. Present inside him. And he is able to probe about all these things is only because Krishna is present inside him as his Atma. Otherwise, how would he prove? How would he probe these things? So, that is why it makes it interesting. So, here he is saying here that that he is saying here that Guru Atmaiva. So, therefore, you are with me all the time. You are with me all the time. This is the Antaryami realization he is talking about. And therefore, I take your shelter. Therefore, I take your shelter. So, more or less, Indra has spoken everything what he wanted to say to Krishna. Completely, totally acknowledging Krishna's position, who he is. And not on the bodily level, totally on the spiritual level, who Krishna is. Right? And then he is saying here, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Evam Sangirtita Krishna, Akona Bhagavanamum, Megha Gambhiraya Vacha, Prakasannidam Abravid. Krishna's answer to that. That when Indra spoke like this, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled, and his words were like a Megha Gambhiraya Vacha. Prakasannidam Abravid, he's saying. Megha Gambhiraya Vacha. Like a thunder. Not with any intention of one Indra, what does it matter to Krishna? There are millions of Indras serving him. So, that's not the reason. For another reason he's saying here that he's saying to Indra that Megha Gambhiraya Vacha Prakasannidam Abravid. When you hear that word, you may think that it was like a thunder Krishna has spoken, right? As though he got very angry and spoke in a very rude way to Indra. It is not like that. Sometimes Krishna creates some sound like that. For example, when Narasimha Murthy came, he did that. Narasimha Murthy, when he got angry with Hiranyakashipu, you remember in the Bhagavatam what it says? Verses, I forget. It was like a thunder, the way Narasimha spoke to Hiranyakashipu. And in that thunder, the whole planetary systems start vibrating with the thunder from Narasimha. It will come later. So here it is not like that. Megha Gambhiraya Vacha. It's not like the way Narasimha reacted to Hiranyakashipu. In a different way here. What is the difference? What is the speciality with the cloud? Megham. Megha means that. See, the earth was lying for a long time without any rain. Fully dry. Lying there. So, suddenly clouds have appeared in the sky. Clouds have appeared in the sky. So, those who are looking for some rain, they feel tremendous pleasure when the clouds come. That it's going to rain now. We're going to get some heavy rains. And you feel happy about it because the whole ground, earth is very, very dry. And it is all split up everywhere. It's dry. So dry, isn't it? So, when jivas, living entities see that, they feel great happiness, isn't it? So, when the clouds have come on top of our head and it has passed off without showering any rains, we will feel bad. Sometimes it happens like that, isn't it? Clouds come and then the wind comes and all the clouds goes away. No rain. And the clear sky comes back again. And how do you feel? But sometimes it so happens, clouds come thunder comes, and then they all go. All these things you can see sometimes in this world. Clouds come, thunder comes, and then the wind comes, and the clouds goes away without any rain. Most of us don't look to the top. We always look what's going on here. So therefore we don't notice all these things. Farmers, if you ask, they will know. They'll tell you better. Those who are more dependent on the rain. We think the water is coming from the Thames water. Or somebody will provide us the water, like the Sainsbury gives the rice. So in the same way, we have no connection with anything in the nature. So therefore, so, but here, when that thunder happens, we don't feel anything bad about it, because we think that it's going to rain now. Is it not? So when that thunder happens, how you feel happy? Similarly, Indra also, when Krishna started speaking, felt inside him that Krishna is going to tell something nice to me. He felt like that. That's what that word, Megha Gambhireya Vaja Prakasannidam Abravid, he's saying there. That Megha Gambhireya Vaja, not in a sense like Narasimha Murthy responded to Hiranyakashipu, but here Hiranyakashipu didn't surrender. You have to remember that. Hiranyakashipu fought and lost at the end. But Indra surrendered, and finally surrendered to such a length that Krishna wanted to tell him the reality. And so Indra understood that my prayers must have had its effect in Krishna, because he is smiling and he is speaking in a voice of a thunder. Megha Gambhireya Vaja Prakasannidam Abravid, he is saying there. Prakasan means he is smiling also. So from there Indra felt some relief. Krishna is going to say something nice to me in that way. So if, and he is waiting anxiously to hear from Krishna, what is he going to say to me now? He wants to hear that, isn't it? That is why Megha Gambhireya Vacham. Suppose Krishna has not spoken these verses now, the coming verses, Indra would have felt very bad. Because when you have apologized to Krishna, and if Krishna has accepted that, you feel a relief, isn't it? Otherwise, suppose Krishna hasn't said anything, then Indra will feel more heavy in the heart, that what has happened, how, what does he think of me now? So those things, isn't it? So he's saying here, look at Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Mayadi Gari Bhagavan Makavan Maka Bhangonu Krishnada Madhunus Madhaya Nityam Matasya Itasya Indra Shriya Brisham Mam Aishwarya Shri Madhando Dandabanim Nabashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sambadhyo Yasya Jecham Anugraham. These are words from Krishna to Indra. He is saying here that this sacrifice which was meant for you, I blocked it. I stopped that, he said. It was, the purpose was only to bless you. Krishna is speaking in a very nice way. It was not done with any evil intentions. The intention was that by stopping that sacrifice, my intention was to actually give you some mercy from me, Indra, he says. And he says, because he says, Indra Shriya means this position of Indra has a lot of opulences with that. Indra Shri. Remember the story of Nahusha. He heard he wanted to go there and get that job. And when he got there, because the opulence is so high there, we can't even imagine the opulence of Indra in the heavenly planets. You have the Parijada tree providing everything what you need. Then you have got Kalpavruksham. And then you got the Amrutam, nectar to drink. Then all the Apsaras women there. And Indra is having a great time altogether. And all of them are very healthy. Nobody is sick like us. They are very strong and healthy there. Their life is very healthy. If you have a very good health And if you have all the opulences, imagine what will happen. And such an opulent lifestyle, comfortable and healthy, and they don't have, like us, anxiety about family life either. If you read about the life in the heavenly planets, you will see there that they will only, when they want children, they will have children. Otherwise not. And otherwise, life is fantastic. So, because of all this, Indra has a very higher standard of living there. Remember when Krishna says, Shine Punyam Martilogam Mishandi in the Bhagavad Gita. It's like, we work here hard, do a lot of sacrifices, collect a lot of punyam. It's like a carrying a very good credit card. Go there and spend, and then you have some time there. When the money runs out in the credit card, they will check how much is left in the punyam credit. When it's finished, Indra will kick us out from there. You won't be able to stay there anymore. So, and when you talk about the, when Devahuti Devi and Kardama Prajapati went there, Nandanam Chaitraratham, the famous parks there in the heavenly planets, where they enjoyed with all other people there. So it's a very different way of life altogether. That is why when some people pray, before we go back to the spiritual world, we want to pass through heavenly planets and to see how things are there. All these things, it's there in the Puranam, all these kind of things you will find. So people get attracted to all kinds of situations. Anyway, Krishna is saying that because of this Aishwaryam, opulences there, you have forgotten about me. And you got so intoxicated that I wanted to make you aware that your position, what your position is, and to remind you that you can't forget me like that and stay in that state. Therefore, I've done this. Only for that reason, I've done that. And what is the necessity of remembering Krishna? That's what he's saying here. not only for Indra, all of us. It's not only for Indra, for all of us. Always remember, it is Krishna who put Indra in that position, isn't it? It is his administration. Like you can see, in every time a new president comes, he picks his own people for all the jobs, isn't it? What's going on now? In the same way. So similarly, Krishna has his own way of doing things. He picks up the people who are the rishis, who are the demigods, who are the Indra, who are the Manu, who are his children. All these things are picked by Krishna's decision. Who is the Brahma even? Is decided by Krishna. Like you can see, Anjaneya Swami is going to become a Brahma later. It's mentioned like that. So, like that, and Mahabali is going to become an Indra next life. So, all these decisions are made in a very higher level. We are such insignificant people, we don't know anything what's going on. We are happy with the little things what's going on in this world. But on a much higher, bigger level, in as far as administration of the whole creation is concerned, from Krishna's side decisions are made, and Indra has been given that position by Krishna. Krishna has appointed him there, but he has forgotten that. Krishna says, that's not wrong. Then, why? Because to become Indra, you have to perform 100 Ashwamedham sacrifices. Remember, Indra always wants to block that. Mahabali was doing that, Indra didn't like it. Prithu was trying to do that, Indra didn't like it. Indra went to block it, didn't he? You know that, Prithu Maharaj's story. So, Indra has this nature that is concerned somebody else may take my position. He's thinking 100 horsepower, therefore it won't allow anybody to complete 100 sacrifices, Ashwamedham. So, but there can be many people who have performed 100 Ashwamedham, but that does not mean that they will all become Indra. That is one of the requirements. That doesn't mean that they will all become Indra. But Ashwamedham, that sacrifice, Yudhishthira performed 3, you remember? When? After the Mahabharata war. So, performing sacrifices were the way of the kings executed their spiritual life. Ashwamedham. Yudhishthira performed 3 Ashwamedham after the Mahabharata war because he was feeling distressed about the death of so many people and felt responsible for all of that. Prachina Barhist is known for this, isn't it? That's how he got the famous name Prachina Barhist. So in the Bhagavatam you will find so many different kings performing Ashwamedham in that way. The word Ashwamedham means what? That Ashwam has also another meaning, that able to control the senses, and through pratyaharam is a process in the Ashtanga Yogam, whereby able to realize Krishna's presence within the heart. That means to remain in Krishna consciousness. Pratyaharam is for that purpose. You remember Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam. Then after this, the next thing is Pratyaharam. Pratyaharam is that process. And only when you have Pratyaharam, you can perform Dharana. Ashtanga Yogam, it is like that. Yama, Nema, Asanam, Pranayama, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. The eight processes. So, initially start with Yamam and Nemam, then Asanam, then Pranayamam, then Pratyaharam. So once you come to the level of Pratyaharam, you are in a position that able to recognize that Krishna is present as Antaryami inside. And Pratyaharam is for that purpose. Why? Because it helps Dharana. This is a part of the yoga process. So the purpose, Krishna says, that of making you Indra and putting you there in that position, and that you become fully conscious of me, my presence in you, and continuously broadcast my glories to the rest of the creation. That purpose that I have put you there as Indra. Indra's role is not just to stay there and enjoy life, but you have a responsibility too. What's that responsibility? Responsibility is this, that in your present state, with full realization that Krishna is present inside as Antaryami, and broadcast this to the rest of the creation and make them aware of my presence and make them know that the world knows about my presence in this world. When you have been given this responsibility of the control of the rain, actually what you should be saying to the world, that it is Krishna's mercy that is coming in the form of rain to this world, instead of taking the ownership of that. This was an important lesson to Indra, isn't it? And those who are offering this sacrifices for you, and when you are offering the results to them, your responsibility is to bring that offerings to me. Even though you are appointed as Indra, you are under my control. Am I not giving you all these things? And it is me who is giving you, and only because of you that you are in that position. For example, in Vedam, if you look, Indra's name is more mentioned than Krishna's name. Why? Because 80-90% of the Vedam is Karmagandam, Yajnam, sacrifices. All Yajnam is addressed to Indra. Indra is one of the principal deities in the Yajnam. So Indra appears more there, and Indra's responsibility that Brahmanas and the fire, whatever we are offering in the oblations in the fire, it is a Brahmana and the fire, through them, the faces, through which they accept our offering. And it is transferred to the demigods. They read the benefit from that. All the sacrifices are set up like that. Like you can see, Vajpayam, Agnishtomam, Adhiratram, so many mentions like that. All the sacrifices, the underlying principle is this, we mortals in this world, with the help of the people who are qualified, we perform the sacrifices. These sacrifices, whatever the ghee is offered as chavise or purodashama, as it is called in the yagam, all that is the benefit of that. When it is chanted with the proper mantra in the proper way, the benefit of that results goes through the fire and the brahmanas' faces, it goes into the devadas, demigods. They get it. They also have to acknowledge that while accepting that it is Krishna who has put them there in that position to accept it. And that is what Krishna is talking about in the first chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember? In the 6 chapters, especially the 3rd chapter, where Krishna explains a lot about yajnam. In the Bhagavadam also same thing. 3rd canto begins with yajnam. Why? Varahamurti is yajna varaham, it's called. Because life has to be a yajnam. Otherwise it is not life here in this world. Yajnam means sacrifice. Sacrificing for others. But not the way we like it. It has to be based on the Shastram. Just like we are doing now so many different kinds of yajnam. Like we're building hospitals, building schools, and teaching them all the ignorance. That's not yajnam. Yajnam means it should end up in the advancement of the person on a spiritual level. Only then it becomes yajnam. Therefore, either it has to be based on the same principle of yajnam mentioned in the Vedam. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. The only concession Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita is that because the Vedic sacrifices have become difficult, Krishna changed that yajnam into karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what we have got now. That is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has given this special concession that in order to people in this age are difficult for them to perform sacrifices. But that same principle Krishna brought into an average person's life. He says, you want to follow this process, karma yogam, this will take you to the same state what you have performed through yajnam, sacrifices, right? So, this way, Krishna has set up a system. And that system, Indra is also a link in that. But he has forgotten that he is just a link. He just started thinking that himself is the controller. And that's where things have gone wrong. So, so he's saying here, see, look at the words Krishna has used there. Mayate kari makhavan makhabhangonu grahanadam madanu smrdaye nityam. Remember me this. While doing this, collecting the offering from the people, madanu smrdaye nityam. Remember me, Krishna says, and then you can collect.
Madanu smrdaye nityam matasya indrashriya brisham.
In order that you will remember me all the time, I have done this to you. Which one? This Govardhana pastime. I've stopped your sacrifice only for you to remember me all the time. I've done this to you, he says.
He says here, Mattasya Indra Shriya Brisham.
So, when Indra started enjoying his Shri means opulences, what happened was, it became Matta. He got intoxicated with that. With the opulence, right? That's what he's saying. Krishna is saying that.
Matasya Indra Shriya Brisham.
Indra became intoxicated with the Shri and became Mata. Intoxicated with the Brisham. So, and therefore what happened? You couldn't remember me anymore. You couldn't remember me anymore. In order to remind you, I stopped that sacrifice for you and gave you this trouble. Give this trouble. That's how Krishna responded to that. See the next verse.
Mama Aishwarya Shri Matando Dandavanim Na Pashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sambadbhyo Yasya Jechami Anugraham.
He says, some people won't see me anytime. They won't recognize my presence here. Why? He said,
Aishwarya Shri Mada Andha.
When there is a lot of opulences in life, when there is a lot of Shri, I say wealth here, it creates ahankaram inside, madam. And when there is too much ahankaram inside, what happens? Andham. Andham means blind. You become blind, isn't it? So he says here, whenever they get Aishwaryam or Shri, they forget that Krishna has given that to them. They forget that Krishna has given that to them. Then what one has to remember at that time is, if Krishna is able to give us all these things, Aishwaryam and Shri, if he is capable of giving it to us, he is capable of taking it away also. That's the important thing to learn. If he is capable of giving us some little material opulence, we get satisfied very easily. Listen, we don't require a lot. We are very easily satisfied people. So even a little bit of material opulence, when we get here in this world, we must always remember it's Krishna has given us. Otherwise, you may learn the lesson like that if he is capable of giving us, he is capable of taking it away from us also as well. That's what he's saying here. So, you know that. When did this happen? Prahlada said this in the 8th canto. If you look at the 8th canto, you will see there. Prabhupada says in the 16th verse, 8:22, 16. Prabhupada said this to the Twayaiva Dattam Padam Aindriyam Urjitam Kridam Tadeva Tadeva Shobhanam Manye Mahanasya Krito Anugraho Vibramshido Yachriyam Almamohanal Yayahi Vidwana Vimukhyade Yada Tatko vichashte gadimalpmano yatha tasmai namaste jagadishwaraya vai narayanaya akhila loka sakshine. Prahlada says there that Indra's position, you have given it to him before and you have taken it back when you wanted that. You have taken that back when you wanted that, is it not? This is the discussion between Bali and Vamana Murti. What is he referring to? Remember, when Mahabali became very powerful, Indra lost his position. Mahabali took over the heavenly planets as well. And then the demigods were wandering around everywhere, not knowing what to do. And it was only then the mother, as usual, mother felt bad, Aditi Devi. Then Aditi went and reported to Kashyapa Prajapati. Kashyapa Prajapati told Aditi Devi to perform Payovratam, and with the result, Vamanamurthy came. And when Vamanamurthy came, what did Vamanamurthy say to Aditi? Vamanamurthy says to Aditi, it's a bit difficult to get rid of Mahabali from the heavenly planet. Your prayers, Payovratam was very good. I am very pleased with that. But to get rid of Mahabali is not possible. Why? Mahabali is in the path of Dharma. Everything he has done properly. He pleased the Vipra, all the Brahmanas he has pleased. With their mercy and the mercy of Shukracharya, he has performed hundreds of Ashwamedham sacrifices and he is qualified to have heavenly planets. So I can't take him away from there. It was very nice. Aditi Devi says to Vamanamurthy, my son is in trouble. All my children, all the demigods are Aditi's children. So, here, it's a very funny situation. Vamanamurthy, Kashyapa Prajapati told Aditi Devi, you perform this Payovratam, you will be okay. You will get the desired result, if you perform it properly. So, Aditi Devi took a lot of care and performed these 12 days of Payovratam. After that, Vamanamurthy appeared. Vamanamurthy is saying to Aditi Devi, your Payovratam was fantastic. It was done very well. But I'm sorry, I can't help you. Why? Because Mahabali is there. What can I do? He is the Indra now. I can't take him away from there easily. So, why did that happen? Because it was Krishna's decision, Indra should lose that position. And that is what Prahlada is referring here. That Indra, the position what was given to him, lost it. He lost it. And what you have done is proper, Prahlada says to there. Why? That because because it is at that time Indra has done something wrong. Remember what all Indra did before that. Why Indra lost that? Aditi Devi had to approach Vamana Murthy and all. Now what's happening? Now, afterwards, Mahabali lost it to Vamana Murthy, isn't it? Vamana Murthy took away everything back by the 3 feats. So now he is Mahabali's, Prahlada's grandson. So Prahlada is saying to Krishna, whatever you have done is proper, because Mahabali has lost that Indra's position there as well. And I consider that it is proper what you have done. Prahlada says there, I consider that what you have done is proper. Why? That this is a mercy you have shown to him, to Mahabali. Because when you have a lot of opulence, it is not possible to realize the self. Atma Swarupam, it is difficult. Because it has such a drastic influence on us, the wealth, that you won't think in that direction about our goal of life. About our goal of life. So, therefore, he says here, Toyaiva dattam padam aindramurjidam kridam tadeva atyatadeva shobhanam manye mahanasya krido anugraho vibramshidoya chriyamalpamohanal. So, Mahabali lost that position, and here he says, Mama Ishwarya Shri Mathando Dandabanim na Pashyadi Tam Bramshayami Sambadbhyo Yasya Chechami Anugraham. Yasya Chechami Anugraham. He says that you have given Mahabali all that opulences of the heavenly planets, and you took it away from him, everything. You took away everything from him. You took away everything from him. So, what did Prahlada say? Prahlada says, it was the right thing you have done. You did the right thing. Why is that? Just like you have given Mahabali, you also can take it away from him in the same way. This should be remembered always. Always remembered. That's what he is saying. Krishna knows that. That's what he is saying, the word, Dandapanim na Pashyati. Dandapanim na Pashyati means that when we do something, when we forget Krishna, Krishna will always be there with the stick in the hand. And that we know how it comes. And it is that stick that comes in the form of distress in life. Somewhere something wrong, so therefore we require some smash beating. And Dandapanim na Pashyati. But many people don't see that. And when Krishna sent Mahabali to Sudalam, at that time, what did he say to Mahabali? He says, I'll be standing outside with the club in the hand as a gatekeeper. As a gatekeeper. So, normally, Krishna hasn't said this to anybody else. In the whole Bhagavadam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, nowhere you will find Krishna telling a devotee, I'll be standing outside with the club to watch people. Then, you stand outside with the club, that means to deal with the enemies who are coming from outside. Isn't it? But, when you have enemies inside you, how do you beat them? If you are standing outside, you can beat with those who are coming from outside to attack you. But you have your own enemies inside you, which are working. So, it is for that purpose, Krishna said to Mahabali, I will stand there. So when you see me, you will remember your enemies inside. If you see Krishna all the time, you won't forget it. When do you forget Krishna? When you have a lot of opulence. Sudalam, as far as opulence is concerned, is very high, as much as in the heavenly planets, even higher, they say. So Krishna says to Mahabali, I will stand there outside. It was not only to prevent the enemies coming from outside. It is for you, so that when you see me, you will remember me properly. Otherwise, you will forget me. When you forget me, all your bad vasanas will come out and start acting. Remember what Mahabali said to Krishna, don't you? To Vamanamurti. What did he say? He says to Vamanamurti that if you come to Mahabali, you should know what you should ask for. This is the introduction to Vamanamurti. Krishna is saying, Mahabali is saying, when you go to a person like Mahabali, you should know what to ask. He said, Vamanamurti is smiling, standing there, he is smiling this, hearing these words from Mahabali. And if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will find those beautiful verses where he is saying that, do you want some chariots, elephants, gold? And looking at you, you are a nice brahmachari, ready for marriage. Do you want a wife? Because in them days, that was a system. When a brahmachari wants to get married, it is the responsibility of the king to find a suitable match. Our matching system through internet didn't work at that time. So that was the system then. Brahmachari, because people who were brahmacharis, they had the right to ask the king, and it's the king's responsibility to find the suitable match. So even that, Vamanamurti offered that to Mahabali. Mahabali offered that to Vamanamurti. Is that what you are come for? So it was then that Vamanamurti says to, there is a long discussion, we will discuss that when we come to that chapter later. That Mahabali was, Vamanamurti was convincing Mahabali, you don't know whom you are talking to. That's the way Krishna Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, you don't know whom you are talking to. I'm a little brahmachari. If I ask for too much, what will the people talk about me? They will say, look at him, the size is so small. He's a brahmachari, but look at his greed. That's what they will say. So I can't ask you too much. Vamanamurti's excuse to Mahabali. Just give me these 3 feet. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking anything more than that. But with that 3 feet, Mahabali is finished. Mahabali was over. Life is over for him. Isn't it? So, there, you remember this. Normally, Krishna doesn't say this to anybody, that I will stand outside with the club in the hand. People will think, oh, he's standing outside with the club in the hand for what? So that anybody comes from outside. Krishna doesn't need to stand there to protect Mahabali like that. But in order to remember Mahabali, remind him all the time what has happened with Vamanamurti. You know, and to remember and bring Mahabali into his consciousness, proper consciousness. Always to remember him that Krishna is present in this world all the time. So, it is for that purpose that if you have enemies inside, if you have enemies inside, then it is a problem. What are the enemies? Aham, mama. Me and mine. Me and mine. If you see me, Krishna say, Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, if you see me outside standing with the club, this aham and mama will go. Mahabali had this big problem, aham mama. He was thinking he is controlling all the planetary systems, including the heavenly planets. And at the same time, he is offering land and wealth to Vamanamurti. So Vamanamurti said like this to him, isn't it? So if you see me, Vamanamurti said to Mahabali, that it is he who has brought me to this situation where I am now, and it is he who is protecting me and looking after me all the time, and if I do anything wrong, he will punish me also. All these things you will remember if you see me standing outside. This was the purpose of giving that special benediction to Mahabali. Because Mahabali's response to Vamanamurti was a little different than others. It was not like Hiranyakashipu responded or anybody else, Ravana responded. It's a completely different way. Mahabali wanted to show to Krishna that he owns everything. And you have come as a brahmachari to ask me. Shukracharya told him that this is not an ordinary person who had come. In spite of all that, Mahabali decided to stay on with his words and told him that. So, So, one who does not have this awareness all the time that it is Krishna who is providing and Krishna is capable of taking it away, and if I do not acknowledge the fact that Krishna is protecting me here in this world, Krishna will also punish me. That feeling should be there in everyone. Otherwise, this misery can happen again. Why is that? Mahabali alone was given this special benediction, and because of this what happened was, Mahabali's mind never got polluted again. You know that. Mahabali, because very easy, even though you may have some experience, it's easy to forget everything. And again our older vasanas will come back, is it not? But this didn't happen to Mahabali. When do we know that? When Krishna went to Sudhalam to bring back the children of the Brahmana, this time Mahabali didn't make any mistake there. Mahabali said to Krishna that whatever you wanted, please let me know. I'll do that straight away. And then Krishna didn't have time to chat. Krishna says to Mahabali, my 6 elder brothers are here. My mother wants to see them. Bring them here. Mahabali says, I don't know who they are, where they are and all. Krishna says, I got their full name and address, everything. Bring them back. And all of them were brought back. All of them were brought back, isn't it? For sake of Devaki Devi. For Devaki's purpose. So the same thing here, that because of this, Mahabali's heart is always pure. Because outside, Krishna is standing there as the Dandavani. That he is standing there with the club in the hand, isn't it? So, Indra didn't get this mercy what Mahabali got in Sudhalam in the heavenly planet. Krishna is not standing there like the way he is standing in Sudhalam. But now, Indra has got that opportunity, first time, with Krishna standing there. You will see the next. Mam Aishwarya Shri Mathando Dandabanim Na Pashyati Tam Bramshayami Sambadbyo Yasya Chayacham Anugraham. It says there, Aishwaryam Shri, because of that, one who has become proud, they don't see me, Krishna says, who is Dandapani, who has got the stick in the hand, isn't it? And now, you will be able to see me with the stick in the hand always. You will remember this. Therefore, only through experience we learn in life, is it not? If we learn through experience, it's much better than learning from the books. Learning from the books is all preaching. It goes with preaching. It goes distributing it. But when you get it experience level in life, it will never go. You'll always remember. You'll never forget it. So that is why he realizes this. If I made a mistake, and if I have forgotten about Krishna's position, Krishna's glories, I will experience all these things, and I will never forget this, what I have experienced now. And it will never happen. He says here, that if you look at the next words, Gamyadam Shakra Badramva Kriyadame Anishasanam Stiyadam Swadhigareshu Yuktairva Stambhavar Jidehi Adaha Surabhi Krishna Abhivandamana Swini Sasandane Rubamandaya Gobaru Upinami Ishwaram. So Krishna gives the permission that only to keep you in the memory. You remember me forever, not to forget this, because through experience you will remember better. Madanu smrdaye nityan matasi indriya shriya brisham. That word is important. Madanu smrdaye nityam. That's what you will never forget again what happened. So therefore this experience I have given it to you. Madanu smrdaye nityam. So that you will never forget what has happened. A very good experience for, who? Indra. An experience which he will never forget. So, he says like that. That's all I have done, he says. Then he says to Indra, you can go. You can go, he says. You will always be happy. And blessed him and sent him away. Krishna says to him, it's Krishna's words, you will never experience any distress in life, in future. And because only if you forget Krishna, there is problem in life. Only if you forget Krishna, there is problem in life. Otherwise, there will be no problems. That's what Krishna is saying. So, then Krishna says there, Krishna never gave another opportunity for Indra to forget him. What are you doing now? From now on, my instructions, follow that properly. And Krishna gave this instruction, do that. And that means, what does that mean? From now on, when sacrifices are performed, now you should go back to the beginning of Govardhana sacrifice. What happened there? What upset Krishna? What upset Krishna before Govardhana sacrifice? Do you remember what upset him? Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, why Govardhana sacrifice? For whom? Nanda Maharaj said, we are doing it for Indra. Indra provides us with the rain. Because of the rain, all the grass is growing well. We are able to maintain our cows. And we are dependent on the cows for our livelihood. So everything Nanda Maharaj told Krishna. Krishna is listening to all that. And Krishna thought that this Indra, who is accepting these sacrifices, he is selfish person. Why? Actually, Indra's role in sacrifice is only to accept it and offer it to Krishna. And he should have been conscious of this fact. Instead, he presented himself in front of all these people that he is the one who is providing it. And that upset Krishna. Krishna didn't like that. Indra is responsible for this situation. Why? Because Nanda Maharaj, in every yagam, that's what he'd say. You will see here that Indra has been given the authority to receive the offerings from the sacrifices, isn't it? And Krishna has instructed me, when they are offering sacrifices, you should give them the results for that. Actually, I am doing it only because I have been given the authority to do so. I am doing that. But it is not me who is doing it. I have been given the authority to do so. And I'm only a middleman in this whole thing. All sacrifices are meant for Krishna's pleasure at the end, not for Indra's pleasure. Indra is a middleman who is parasparam bhavayanda prema paramavapsida. That we please the demigods through sacrifices, and demigods in return has been given the authority to provide us with the necessities of life. This is the yajnam side of it. But yajnavai Vishnu, all yajnam is meant to please Vishnu, Krishna. In other words, Indra should have taught this to all his people who are offering this to him. He didn't do that. And that was what upset Krishna. That is why in that sacrifice, you will see when you study this Govardhanam sacrifice, you will find there that Indra should have only just accepted his role as a middleman in between that. So, from now on, you will be able to remain in that state rather than thinking that you are the one who is... Because there was no necessity for Indra to get upset. That was Krishna's point. The sacrifices are meant for Krishna's pleasure. And when they are performing sacrifices, so therefore Krishna directed the whole sacrifices towards Govardhana, to Govardhana Hill. So that's what he's saying here. Stiyadam. So look at that word. Correctly, Krishna specified that. Stiyadam swadhikareshu. His adhikaram. Indra's adhikaram. He should know how much he has got the authority. That is Swadhigaram.
Sthiyadam Swadhigareshu Yukteir Vastambha Varjitai. Yukteir Vastambha Varjitai. Gamyadam Shakra Badramva Kriyadam Me Anushasanam. Sthiyadam Swadhigareshu Yukteir Vastambha Varjitai.
When you forget your adhigaram, your limits or your position, then ahangaram will come. Because of ahangaram only he did that. Is it not? Indra thought all these sacrifices are meant for his pleasure. That was the mistake. It is not meant for his pleasure. It is meant for Krishna's pleasure. He is only a person in between accepting the offerings from the people who are performing sacrifices. So that is the point stressed there. Then, and so from now on, Siyadam Swadhigaryeshu, all ahangaram has gone, and you can remain in the heavenly planets with the brothers who are the Marudevas. Marudevas are expressed. Remember the 49 who went into the from Dujidevi, they have become demigods later. Altogether, you can live in the heavenly planets happily. Krishna says to Indra, fully conscious of your position, what you are. And in the same way, every one of us have been given certain rights in this world. And there is a limit also for drawn for that, isn't it? And that is to remind us that you have to remain within that, not to overstep from that, and living in this world in that way. Krishna is very much in that authority. He wouldn't accept anything else. That is his position. What does that mean to us? That means one should not step into somebody else's karma. That is our limitations. Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says about karma, where he says that Shreyan Sotharmo Vigunan Paratharmal Sunushtidal. Why does he say that? It is because of this. That what one is entitled to do, that karma, one should perform. Not do things which is not in his jurisdiction. He should not break the boundary. Krishna set up the boundary. We didn't step up the boundary. Brahmana dharmam, kshatriya dharmam, vaishya dharmam, shudra dharmam, all dharmam Krishna specified, one should follow that. That is what pleases Krishna. When you step out of that, it is not very pleasing to Krishna, because when you do somebody else's karmam, there is a possibility that you will destroy that karmam and you will also commit the offense of not doing your own karmam. Varnashrama dharmam has got all these rules connected with that. That is why traditionally people accepted Varnashrama Dharmam strictly for this reason. That you are not breaking away from the law set up by the higher authority. Rishis have given us Varnashrama Dharmam for this purpose. But without knowing anything about Varnashrama Dharmam, we have completely thrown it away. And now we are suffering from that in different ways, isn't it? You can see, only you have to analyze the life in this world today. You will see the absence of that Varnashrama Dharmam very easily. Now we want to bring it back within our little organization, trying to do it. That's not going to work. We have to first understand the authority and authority's instructions, what they mean, why it is necessary. And this is what Krishna is referring to. He's saying to Indra, you have been given a certain duty and a responsibility and certain authority. Stay within that. Don't step out of it. And that is for Indra. For us, Krishna has set up certain rules. How one should live in this world. Wherever a body has been given us, in Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, maintain that status. One trying to do somebody else's won't work. It simply won't work. We have seen that again and again. Those and it is not done with any kind of bad motivations, because that's the only way the society can remain happy, peaceful also. That's the reason why it's set up like that. But unfortunately, it is not so. never to get into somebody else's dharma, and instead doing one's own dharma. So there it will, so you can see here when we go back to Bhagavad Gita, all these things will come back again. In the first six chapters, when Krishna spoke about karma, Krishna talked about karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. Did he not? Why did he say all these things? You think everybody in this world think in terms of karmam, agarmam, vigarmam? How many people think in terms of karmam, agarmam, vigarmam? And how do you expect any happiness in this world when we don't listen to what has been spoken? Krishna very clearly tells us what is karmam, what is agarmam, what is vigarmam. Why in Bhagavad Gita all these topics discussed? Because unless we understand all these things and we follow that, you won't get any benefit from studying all these things. That is the principle behind it. Karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. So, karmam, there he has mentioned that. So, Indra's karmam, Indra should know. And that he should do that all the time. And, what does akarma means? Akarma means not doing anything. Simply passing time in this world without doing anything. That is akarma. Vikarma means doing somebody else's karma. And that means karma which I should not do, going and doing that karma. That is vikarma. That's also considered to be vikarma. Vikarma is a big category. It's a big category. So Krishna is saying that if you always remember me and execute your work in this world, then you will be able to stay in your position without any problem. That's what he's saying there. Stiyadam. Stiyadam means you can stay in your position. Swadhigareshu yuktayarva stambhavarjidehi. So, when all these things were, Krishna has spoken, everything you can look at it, how Krishna spoke to Indra. Krishna said in such a way, to make Indra aware that this is your position, you should remain in that state and act properly. That's all I'm expecting. And when Indra did not act properly, that means when he stepped out of line, when the Govardhana sacrifice happened, Krishna says, I had to do this to make you aware of your position. That is towards Indra. Why in the Bhagavatam all this is spoken? For us, for our benefit. So, after saying this, Surabhi comes in. Surabhi. Who is Surabhi? Surabhi is the mother of all the cows, and she comes in, saying, Indra has become pure now. After hearing all this, that was enough for Indra to become pure, and he is standing there thinking about these words of Krishna. It was at that time. At that time, Surabhi says, what does Surabhi say? Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Vishu Alpan Vishu Sambhava Bhavada Loga Nadhena Sanadha Vayamachuda. Sanadha Vayamachuda. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Vishu Alpan Vishu Sambhava Bhavada Loga Nadhena Sanadha Vayamachuda. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Cheto Darpanamarjanam Bhomaha Davagni Nirvabanam Shreya Kaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidhyavadhu Jeevanam Ananda Budhi Vardhanam Purna Amrita Swadhanam Sarvabna Sabanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bhudanja Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drushita Vakriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishami Hajanina Nuragaham Trinarabi Shunichena, Tarorabi Sahishtuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtani Yasadahari, Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim, Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai, Mama Janmani Janmani, Shwari Bhavadat, Bhaktirahi Dugitvai, Nandadanuja Kingaram, Patitama Mushami, Bhavambudo, Krubayatava Pada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham, Vichindaya, Nayanam Galadashudharaya Vadanam Gadgadiruddhaya Gira Pulakair Nijidam Gadavapu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyati Yugaidam Nimeshenam Pachavishaidam Chunyaidam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahenami Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karotuva
സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സോ വി ആർ നൗ വാട്ട് യു ഫൈൻഡ് ഈസ് സുരഭി ഹാസ് കം ഓൺ ദ സീൻ ആൻഡ് സുരഭി സേസ് കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ മഹായോഗിൻ വിശ്വാത്മൻ വിശ്വസംഭവ ഭവതാ ലോകനാഥേന സനാഥാ വയമച്യുതാം ത്വം ന പരമകം ദൈവം ത്വം ന ഇന്ദ്രോ ജഗൽപദേ ഭവായ ഭവഗോ വിപ്ര ദേവാനാം യജസാധവാം ഇന്ദ്രം നസ്ത്വാഭിഷേക്ഷ്യാമോ ബ്രഹ്മണാനോദിതാ വയം അവതീർണോസി വിശ്വാത്മൻ ഭൂമേർ ഭാരാവനുത്തയേ.
സുരഭി ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് ദി യുവർ അപ്പിയറൻസ് ലോകനാഥ the controller of this whole creation, we have realized that you are there, and that realization is, she says here, that because of that we have become sanatha. Sanatha, anatha means one who have nobody to guide in life, totally lost, that is anatha. Sanatha means there is someone to guide you in life further, what to do, properly instructing and guidance given. And we feel now that we have somebody to give guidance to us because you have spoken this way, sanatha, he says. And Surabhi means that Surabhi releases the milk from her udder. And releases nectar, because go, the sound go also means senses, like the cow, it also means senses. And Indra refers to mind, Indra refers to the mind, because if the mind is pure, then senses will give you happiness. If the mind is pure, if your mind is pure, every experience through the senses will be happy, will be happy state, amrutam. That this is the implied meaning in the Vedantam of all these pastimes. When we are talking about Surabhi, when we are talking about Indra and all that, when it is spoken in terms of our tattvam behind it, the way to understand is that Indra refers actually to the mind. Who are these devatas we are talking about? Okay. In the all the senses in our body, who is present there? Different devatas, isn't it? You know, they will say predominating deity of every senses, it's spoken. Eye for the ear and for the tongue. Varuna is for the tongue and for... the whole list is there in the Bhagavatam. You can see that in the third canto. So similarly, all the senses have their predominating deities. They are the demigods. They are the demigods. Demigods. For example, you can see Adhyalpam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam. This Adhidevam feature is the one what is spoken in the Puranam. That means personification of all the indriyam, senses, right? In Adhyalpam sense, Adhyalpam means the tattvam, spiritual sense, it's something different. In the Adhibhudam is the predominating deity there. There is two things. One is the predominating deity and the other one is the Upasana deity, Upasana Murti, it is called. So that list is mentioned in the third canto. For all the senses, who is the predominating deity? For example, when we say mind, take for example mind. Mind, Upasana Murti is Aniruddha. Remember this? Vasudeva Sangarshana Pradyumna Aniruddha. The four forms of Vishnu present in this body, in the Ahangaram is Sangarshanam, Pradyumna is the intelligence, Aniruddha is the mind, and the, what is the other one? Vasudeva is the Chittam. Remember? That's why we should study the third canto properly to understand this connection with the devadas and our body. All indriyams present in us is controlled by the devadas. That's where they are present.
That's why they are present. So when senses, for example, you upset a particular devata in a form, that can have problem for us in our next body, what we get. In science, all these things don't come. Science doesn't have any Indra, no Chandra, no Varuna, nothing there. They just believe that the senses are not working, operate it and fix it. That's what they have understood about. But certain times, certain senses, you can't operate and do anything about it. It just doesn't work. When you were born with a particular defect. That's because Shastram is saying to us that that particular predominating deity of that sense must have been upset by some action you have done before. That's why he withdraws that power from your sense and you are not able to use that. Senses are nothing but holes in the body. But it's not the mechanical function of the sense that is doing the job. It's the presence of that particular deity in that sense who is helping us to perform. Similarly, all the karmendriyam also, in the same way. Like our karmendriyam means hands, legs, then rectum, and similarly upastham. Everything, all indriyams, karmendriyam, jnanendriyam, that means five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, all of them have got predominating deities who control their function. So, in three categories, adhyatmam, adhibhutam, adhidevam, if you take, for example, the mind, it is called as the mind in the adhibhutam level. In the adhyatmam level, it is considered to be the in the adhyatmam level and adhibhutam level, adhidevam level. Adhidevam level, you consider the authority as the Indra is controlling. But in the adhyatmam level, it is Aniruddha. So Aniruddha in the adhyatmam level and Indra in the adhibhutam level and adhyatmam adhidevam. Mind it is addressed as like that. There is a whole chart made for all these things, right? So, so Surabhi is saying here. Now, Surabhi, for example, Surabhi is offering us the what he says here, that if the principle is this, the mind and the senses are connected very much. If the mind is pure, that means there is no bad vasanas inside in our thoughts and actions, then the senses also will be pleased. The deities which are controlling the senses will be in a happy situation. Suppose the mind is not pure, then these senses will give you a lot of pain. So, otherwise, if the mind is very pure, then what will the senses do? What is the favor that senses will do? Senses will give the information to us. Whatever you see in this world is nothing but it will make you aware of Krishna's presence there. Whatever you hear, it will all be Krishna's glories. And whatever you do, actions you do with your body, it will all be an offering to Krishna. And that means everything in this world come to this realization of Krishna's presence. Senses will help us to realize that if the mind is pure. In that case, senses become pure. And they become free. And all the senses can glorify Krishna in that way. So, Surabhi, when we are talking about Surabhi, Surabhi refers to these senses. So, that is how in the tattvikam level, in the tattvajnanam, Surabhi is referred to as the senses. So, earlier you will see when Nalakuvera and Manigriva, when they finished their glorifications to Krishna, what did they say? There is an important verse there, and it is always in relationship with this, is spoken. If you look into that chapter, that is the chapter where Nalakuvera and Manigriva were what comes Balalila, after the Balalila. Chapter 10, yes. Kubera Putras, their mercy. At the end of that, you will see verse 38. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtistadam darshanestu bhavat tanunam. That verse. This is what Nalagveran Manigriva said to Krishna. That our words should always be, that means all the senses practically. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam. If the senses are properly purified, it will develop a taste for Krishna consciousness or hearing about Krishna. Shravanau kathayam, to hear about Krishna. And the ear will be absorbed in the divine pastimes of Krishna. Hands will absorbed in the Krishna service. And mind will always be remembering Krishna's lotus feet. And the head will always be offering obeisances to Krishna. And our vision will always be looking for devotees and their association. Vani gunanu kathaye shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasumanastava padayorna smrtya shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtistadam darshanestu bhavat anunam. This, what Nalagveran Manigriva has spoken, is the same thing coming in another form spoken here. What does it say? It says here that this has happened in the pastimes in the 10th chapter. And now it is, if you look there, 10th chapter, when the Balalila started, when the childhood pastime started this, and it is in the early part of the childhood pastimes, this incident happened with the Nalakuvera and Manigriva. You say Damodara Lila, and straight after that, this particular pastime happened. Straight after Damodara Lila, this pastime happened. It was then that Nalagveran and Manigriva prayed in this way. So, now in Vrindavanam, they are saying there that prayer what Nalagveran and Manigriva has spoken, the result of that is happening now. The result of that is happening now. What is that? Surabhi is saying here, to Krishna, we are totally satisfied now. What Nalakuvera and Manigriva is prayed for, Surabhi is acknowledging that. Now, through these pastimes, we have come to this situation, is she saying here. Surabhi says, Sanatha vayam achyuta. Sanatha vayam achyuta. That, Tumna paramagam devam, tumna indrojagalpade, bhavaya bhavagovipra, devanam yeja sathava. He says, and Indram nastu abhishekshyamo brahmano nodita vayam avatirnosi vishwatman bhumer bhairavan uttaye. That your appearance here for us now, that the senses are like horses which is running without any control. You remember that? In Bhagavad Gita also we say that, isn't it? Indriyam, nature is that horses, it is actually in the Kathopanishad, it will mention very clearly that horses, if they drive and pull in different directions, the carriage will go and tumble somewhere. But if they all pull properly, then it will reach the destination. There is a whole verse in the Kathopanishad about that. So here, what does he say? That now these horses or these senses are not like the horses without any control, but they all become very helpful, and with the result that I am able to offer the nectar. Surabhi is saying this because we have all become sanadha, and never again it will lose its track. It won't go out of track. Senses won't go out of track, out of line, in other words. If you remember, in the second canto, when Brahma talks about to Narada Maharshi about his position, he mentions this. Because I have taken to Krishna consciousness, Brahma is saying this, there is an acknowledgement there. If you look into the second canto, you'll find there in the sixth chapter, 2:6. Sri Narada Maharshi, after his life as the in the forest, remember he wandered around and then he had to wait till the prarabdham is over. He had to stay in this world. Then he leaves his body, and by now the night time has come. So he goes and dissolves in Brahma, Lord Brahma. Then when the daytime comes, again creation begins. At time Narada Maharshi gets his new body. So at that time Sri Narada Maharshi says to Brahma, he noticed that Brahma is praying to somebody. So Narada Maharshi asked Brahma, "Who are you praying? I thought you are the supreme authority." Brahma says to Narada Maharshi, "I am not the supreme authority. I have somebody else above me." To whom? So There is a whole discussion, that is what that chapter, the sixth chapter of the second canto. Right? And if you read that chapter, you will find at one particular verse, Brahma is saying to Narada Maharshi like this, 33 verse. Na bharadi menga mrusho balakshade, snavai kojinme manaso mrushagadi, name hrishi gani padandi asalpate. What did Brahma say? Brahma saying that I have one blessing from my higher boss, authority, Krishna. What is that? Because when I have started creation, I have been given this assurance that keeping Krishna in the heart, you can continue with the creation. And because I do it like that, he says here, that every time when I do anything, because in my heart, I'm always holding Krishna in my heart, my words will never go wrong. Whatever I've spoken always come true. Na bharadi mengam rushoba lakshade. Navai kojinme manaso mrushagadi. My mind never goes in the wrong direction. never goes in the wrong direction. And what else? Name krishi gani padandi asalpathe. My senses never goes into the wrong way. All senses goes in the right direction. Because of my surrender to Krishna. Brahma acknowledges that. Na bharadi mengam rushobalakshyate. Navai kujinme manaso mrushagadi, name krishigani padandi asalpade, yenme hridav aukandyavada dhrido hari. Because I am always holding hari in my heart. Right? So, he said this, in that Brahma said this. And now you can see our Surabhi is saying exactly the same thing, that senses don't go out of control. Senses don't go out of control because Krishna is holding them. That is what that word sanatha means. Sanatha means that our mind is in a control. Mind is under control. Senses are under control. Senses are always under control. None of our senses will never again go in the wrong direction. So that's what he's saying there. Tvam na paramagam devam, tvam na indro jagalpade, bhavaya bhava go vipra devanam ye cha sadhava. Devanam ye cha sadhava. And you are our greatest authority. You are our controller. And devam, it says there, Tunna paramagam devam. Devam means what? Devam means, devam has few meanings. Devam also has a meaning that our good fortune or good luck. What is the greatest fortune? To see Krishna directly. To see Krishna directly. And what is the greatest fortune for the ear? To hear Krishna's flute. Krishna's playing the flute. And what is the greatest fortune of the tongue? To taste Krishna's prasadam. Krishna's prasadam. Or to chant the holy name. Both are the good fortune of the tongue. So similarly, all our senses in connection with Krishna has its greatest fortune. That's the greatest fortune. So that is what she is saying there. Tvam na paramagam devam. Tvam na indro jagalpade. So, and because you are controlling the senses directly now, we are very sure that the senses will act in the right way, which means that the tongue is busy in tasting prasadam or chanting the holy name, ears are busy in hearing about Krishna, and eyes are busy in seeing Krishna's form, and nose is smelling Krishna or flowers offered to Krishna. In every way, all the senses are purified then, when they are engaged in that. And therefore, that means that all the senses are also under Krishna's service, in Krishna's service. And Krishna, who is present inside all of us as our very soul, who is present inside, he says that bhavaya go vipranam devanam ye cha sadhava. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam. If you go back into Lord Brahma, what he said about that, go back into the 14th chapter and have a look at that. When Brahma said this, that Brahma, in his Brahma Stuti, he said this. If you look into the 14th chapter, in Brahma Stuti, you will find this verse. Verse 55. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehivabhadi mayaya. See that? Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehivabhadi mayaya. That you should know that Krishna is the soul of everyone. Krishna is the soul of everyone, and only for the benefit of those conditioned souls in this body, living in this material body, for their benefit, with the help of Maya, he appears to us as an ordinary human being in this world. That's what that means. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehi vabhadi mayaya. We are thinking Krishna like this, a person like us. In the, that is not what Brahma is saying. Brahma is saying, Dehi Vabhadi Maya. Because of the presence of Maya, we feel Krishna has a body like that. And we are seeing him manifesting in this world in this particular form. Krishna Menam Avepetra Dehi Vabhadi Maya. So, saying that, Atmanam akhilatmanam, he says, when senses are functioning in the proper way, it starts pleasing Krishna who is inside us. When senses are acting properly in our purified state. Now, when we engage in sense gratification, it's not pleasing Krishna who is inside. So, saying this, the milk that was, or nectar that was coming from, what's the name, Surabhi, she started performing the Abhishek for Krishna. Abhishek for Krishna. That's what you will find there in the next two verses there. Shri Shuka Vacha. Evam Krishna Upamandre Surabhi Payasalpana Jalei Akasha Gangayam Aira Vadakarodhradai Indra Surarshibisagam Nodido Deva Madhrabi Abhishinjadi Dasharham Govindam Iti Chabhyadad. Saying like this, Surabhi brought the milk and started performing Abhishek to Krishna, and Indra then brings Airavatam, brings fresh water from the spiritual world, from the spiritual Akasha Ganga. Ganga river, before it came to this planet, it came through the heavenly planets, and there Airavatam has collected that water and brought it here, and with that water she started, Airavatam started performing Abhishek to Krishna, and all the rishis were present there, and Krishna was addressed as Govinda. Evam Krishna Maha Upamandra Surabhi Payasalpana Jalei Agasha Gangayam Airavata Karodhade. Now, we must try to understand this. On one side, there is this story like this. Surabhi comes, Indra comes, and all that. But look at the Adhyatmam side of it, the spiritual side of it. What is the spiritual side? Spiritual side is, we have senses in our body. We have the mind. Right? When the mind is in a healthy state, the senses also will be healthy. And senses are, when is the senses healthy? When the senses are engaged in Krishna's service. Who is Krishna? Who is present inside us, our very soul. So these senses are meant for His happiness. It is not meant for the happiness of our false ego. Right? So, when we engage in sense gratification, what is happening to us? Our ahankaram gets satisfied. It is that one, that is why we develop ragam, dvesham, all other things, emotions develop from that. But when adhyalpam side, when Krishna is present inside as the alma, Krishna, that is why you have to connect this with the Brahmastuti. Lord Brahma is saying there that Krishna menam avehitvam. If you look at it at 14th chapter, that verse is an important verse because it is centered around these things are spoken. Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhilalpanam, says who? Brahma says. Krishna menam avehitvam, that is one important statement. Alpanam akhilalpanam. He is the alma of everybody. Everybody's alma is Krishna. Then, jagaddidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. When you are seeing Him as a person in this world, moving around all the people, it's only because in the presence of Maya, we perceive Him in that form here. But actually, who is He? That is the first line. Alpanam, Akhilalpanam. That is He. Actually, Krishna is the soul of everyone. Krishna menam avehitvam, Alpanam, Akhilalpanam. But jagaddidaya sopyatra dehivabhadi mayaya. When we are present in this world, under the influence of Maya, we will only see Him as a person with a body like that. That's all what you will see Him. You won't know anything more than that about Him. His real identity is unknown to us in this state. That is that verse is saying. Krishna menam avehitvam, alpanam akhilalpanam. Jagaddidaya sopyatra dehivabhadi mayaya. Now when you see Him, because there is Maya in us, we will only see Him as a person in that form, not knowing who He is. Not knowing who He is. Who is He then? He is our very soul inside. Andaryami, presence in everyone. That is His real identity. Who is present inside as the soul of everyone. So, after recognizing that, what Surabhi is saying here is, Surabhi is saying,
that Krishna Krishna Mahayogin, again you can see the same point is raised. Vishwalma Vishwabha Vishwasambhava Bhavata Lokanathena Sanatha Vayamachyudam. That by your this action towards Indra, in everything there is Katha side and the Adhyalpam side. Adhyalpam side is the principle what we have to learn. If you simply hear Katha only, without knowing the Adhyalpam side of it, it will remain as a Katha. Katha is meant for changing our life in this world. Otherwise, what is the use? Simply heard a lot of Katha. Katha, there is plenty of Kathas in this world. But Katha has an Adhyalpam side. The Adhyalpam side is this, that senses within us, with our own body, the presence of the Devadas are present there. All the senses, right? And these Devadas, pleasing Devadas, sacrifices, everything means that controlling these senses and using the senses in the right way for the right purpose. Pleasing whom? Krishna, who is present inside as the Antaryami. So that is the goal. That means the senses must be engaged in Krishna's service. And that acknowledgement is what our Nalagu Vairava was asking. Vani Gunanu Kadhaniye Shravanau Kathayam. The whole thing there. You will see this in Ambarish's activities also. Where he is saying, Ambarish is saying there that the famous verses, 9th canto, if you look, you will find there. Where he says that, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor 9.4.18. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Karau Harer Mandira Marjana Dishu Shrudim Chakar Achuda Salkathothaye Mukunda Lingvalaya Darshane Drishau Tal Brityagatra Sparshenga Sangamam Granamja Talpada Saroja Savirabhe Srimat Tulasyam Rasanam Tadarpide Padau Hare Kshetra Padanu Sarpani Shiro Krishigesha Padabhi Vandani Kamamja Dasyenadu Kamakamyayam Yaduttama Shloka Janashraya Rati. In those three verses, Ambarish Maharaj is saying exactly the same thing. All the senses should be serving you. All the senses should be serving you. Serving who? Krishna Menama Vehitva Alpa Anamakhila Alpanam. Serving Krishna. This is perfection of spiritual life. Able to engage all the senses, body, mind, everything in Krishna service. So that it is keeping that in mind, and also you will see the same thing with Malaguvera and Manigriva also saying the same thing. And here, after that, he is saying here that they, when senses are engaged, then it starts pleasing Krishna. When the senses are engaged properly, and that is indication of that is the that 22 and 23 Surabhi started releasing milk in plenty. It started releasing the milk and Abhishekam started for Krishna, and that is the time when Govinda Govinda it happened. So senses and the mind. Who is the mind? Mind is Surabhi. Indra is the senses. Indra represents the senses and mind represents the Surabhi. Mind represents the. And worshipping whom? Krishna, who is present inside as Antaryami, who is Atma. Atma inside. So when the senses and the mind is engaged in the worship of Krishna, who is the Antaryami, that perfection is what is coming through this pastime. Through this pastime. And so, Surabhi and Indra, they are performing Abhishekam to Krishna and saying Govinda, Govinda, and started glorifying him again.
So this is the duty of all our senses and the mind, to engage, absorb in such a way, to such an extent, that it should be absorbed in the thoughts of Antaryami, Krishna, who is present inside. One should recognize that within all of us, who is present inside is nobody else than Krishna himself, who is present in everyone as Antaryami. When we wake up to that consciousness, it is exactly the same of this Leela of Govardhana Leela. That is actual Govardhana Leela. So Govardhana Leela is a Leela not happened only 5,000 years ago. It has to happen right now within us. Our own mind and senses should be absorbed in pleasing the Antaryami inside by its activities. When that happens, you can say you have understood Govardhana Leela properly. Otherwise not. Simply to think that 5,000 years ago Krishna came and performed some pastimes and gone back, and Surabhi brought some nice milk from the heavenly planets and showered on Krishna and gone away, or Indra came back and showered with the water from the... They are all there in the... But in the katha form it is like that. But in the adhyatmam sense, this is what is to be understood. So this adhyatmam sense is more important, because the adhyatmam sense is the one that will change us, not the katha. Katha we hear, we relish the katha, because it's spoken in the katha format, so that you can develop some connection with it. Otherwise, if you simply say mind and senses should be absorbed in the glorification of the Atma inside, many people will find it not very interesting. But when it is spoken in this form, it becomes more relishable, right? So always remember the Adhyalpam side of the pastimes. Every pastime has its own spiritual side also. That spiritual side and Adhyalpam side, even if there is some deficiencies or even shortcomings in the material side of it, that is rejected, the Adhyalpam side is accepted. All pastimes. Because sometimes people try to find and logicize the pastimes. There may be something sometimes not totally in agreement with our mind. In such situations, those explanations are rejected. The principle, underlying principle on the Adhyalpam side is accepted. So here the Adhyalpam principle is this: when the mind and senses, mind is representing the Surabhi and senses are represented by Indra. When both of them are in agreement and doing its service properly to Krishna, who is present inside as Antaryami by its activities, then that pleases Krishna. That is the benefit from that. So, say imagine a person who starts his spiritual life. He starts his spiritual life some particular time in his life, when he comes to realize that he has to take the spiritual life seriously. So at that time he has got these four problems with him. What are they? The mind, the intelligence, his false ego, and all his vasana. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Isn't it? So in that situation, what's happening? His mind is under the control of the senses. Before, when he started, mind is under the control of the senses. And it is going out all the time into the world. This is all the subtle side of the spiritual life. When you start spiritual life, we don't look at ourselves, we look at everybody else. Isn't it? How many rounds is he chanting? So I start competition with him. This is the type of people we are. So that is not spiritual life. That's just the way we are. We are what we are. So anyway, here, what Krishna is saying here is that earlier, before the mind comes under control, initially it is under the control of the senses, the mind. And that means it goes into the world outside. Senses means busy with the world, isn't it? but suppose with advancement in the understanding of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that, you start reading and listening and thinking about it, little by little this aham aham, I am, goes away from inside. we don't feel anymore the importance of me anymore. Initially, everybody thinks they are very important in spiritual life, isn't it? So, when this aham, I am, that thought, became very favorable to Krishna, that means I started recognizing that I am not important, Krishna is important. That's the first recognition. That's why you pay, offer your obeisances to Krishna, you chant the holy name, you start taking prasadam. Initially, none of these things existed. But when you start recognizing Krishna's presence inside us, this aham, aham starts going away. Ahankaram will slowly start disappearing from inside. And when that happens, the intelligence starts telling us to offer obeisances to Krishna. Little by little, you start falling down on the ground and paying obeisances. Is it not? So that is a change of heart that is happening in everybody from the early days when it started, isn't it? So, when you are offering obeisances to Krishna like that, with that kind of intelligence, and immediately the next thing what will happen is, you will start evaluating the world outside. You become little bit more conscious of the world outside. That is the next effect of that. In spiritual life, how changes happen in a person. Initially, you don't know anything about outside world, inside world. All you know about the world outside, and you are acting on that basis, right? Because at that time, mind is controlled completely under the control of the senses. But when when things start improving in spiritual understanding gets better, the mind slowly gets free from the control of the senses. Still it will go, but not to the extent like it used to go before, right? And when that happens a little bit more better, this I am thought also becomes a little weakened. In other words, ahankaram is slowly diminishing inside. The result of that is that intelligence starts dictating from inside to offer obeisances to Krishna. This is all a part of the progress in the surrender process. These things happen in that way. You can look back to your own life and you see how things have changed within yourself. You will notice these things happening. So, when you are becoming more attached to Krishna like this, starts offering obeisances to Krishna, then you are becoming more conscious of the world outside, how dangerous that world is. Dangerous in the sense that the all your experiences in life, you start evaluating in relationship with Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? So, that time, by now, the mind and the senses have become more conscious of Krishna's presence inside, and it is more offering obeisances to Krishna there. And that means, it is at this stage you can say that the senses have become more conscious of listening to Krishna from inside. Listening to Krishna. Not to do things which will upset Krishna inside. This is the way things happen within us. Initially we are not conscious of anything. We just do what the mind tells us to do. Or what the senses tells us to do. Isn't it? But when you become Krishna conscious, and as this progress happens within, everything when you do after that, you are become conscious. Is this the right thing what I am doing? Will this upset Krishna? That is what we call as the offering or the showering of Surabhi and Indra onto Krishna. When it is start dictate listening to Krishna inside, Andaryami's instructions at that time. So, at that time, what will happen is, the mind and senses which were going to the world outside before, it has turned towards Krishna who is inside. And because the intelligence is encouraging for that, inside all of us, that ahankaram which was operating very strongly before, that directs us. That ahankaram is not anymore dictating its way. Instead, it dictates to us in such a way that our attention goes towards Krishna. even the ahankaram changes. First, the mind changes. Then the intelligence changes. And then even the ahankaram changes. Because subtle body means these four things, isn't it? Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. So, in gradually, one after the other, they all changes, including the ahankaram. Ahankaram give way. It does not come on the way anymore. It gives way. Whereas mind and the intelligence, it encourages to go in service to Krishna. Service to Krishna. So what will happen now? When this happens, when this state comes, and when we get fully absorbed with the mind, intelligence, body, senses, everything, naturally the thoughts which were going into the world outside before, it all goes inwardly. It's not taking any interest in the world outside. And in this way, the thoughts going and dissolving itself is called Govinda Abhishekam. Govinda Abhishekam means this. In Bhagavadam, every story has a meaning behind it. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, what he wants to tell us through Vedantam, he brought it through Puranam and the stories and put it in this pattern. That's the way it is. So while reading this story, we must always look into what is the message from there. Even though we may not fully understand the message first, because we are also in our spiritual journey. And this journey, how long it will take, we don't know. As long as we are on the path, we must know these things. That what is because this is addressed as Govinda Abhishekam, is it not? Surabhi and Indra comes and performs his Abhishekam to Krishna. What does it all mean? It means that initially the mind and senses were in the world outside, totally. But when you have got into contact with the mercy of Krishna or by a devotee, when you start looking into it seriously, what is this spiritual life about? You start realizing that the mind has turned its attention away. With the result was that it is acting properly, therefore the senses are also under control. When mind and senses are controlled, the intelligence will dictate from inside to take Krishna consciousness seriously and offer obeisances to Krishna, and that will all become very willingly one will do that, without being forced by anything. Willingly one will feel the necessity to offer respects to Krishna all the time. And when it starts growing little by little inside, you can see that the mind, senses and intelligence, everything comes under control and they are doing their job, function properly. At that time, ahankaram inside will give way. It will not come on the way anymore. Ahankaram give way ahankaram is only a block inside to block us. So ahankaram give way when they start doing their work. When mind, intelligence is totally, and senses are totally absorbed in Krishna's service, inside, Andaryami inside, automatically what will happen is all our thoughts which were originally developing with the relationship with the world, they will stop that, it will go inside and dissolve itself. Thoughts won't become a problem anymore. That means the mind is not causing any more difficulty for us. And that itself is called, that thoughts dissolving inside is called Govinda Abhishekam. Abhishekam of Govinda. So, Govinda Abhishekam, of course on the story side, it is the way it is spoken there. But from the spiritual side, this is also to be noticed. Only then you can say that the purport of this verse, what is in relationship with us, what is the effect? That's the question. And that is how you understand that. That's what if you see there. Indra Sumarshibhi. Sagam nodi do deva matrabi abhyashinjadada sharham govinda idi chabhyadad. They address Krishna as Govinda. Tatra agada stumburu naradadayo gandharva vidyadara siddha charana jagurvyasho logamalabaham hare suryangana sam nandurdur mudanvidam tam tushtavur devanikaya ketavo vivagiram chalbuda pushpavrishtibhi logaparam nirvrdimapnuvam strayo gavastada gamanayan payodhrudam nanarasaugasarido vrkshamasan madusrava akrishtapyach aushadayo girayo vibradunmanin കൃഷ്ണേഭിഷിക്തമേതാനി സത്വാനി കുരുനന്ദന നിർവൈരാണ്യം ഭവം സ്ഥാത ക്രൂരാണ്യപി നിസർഗത ഇത്യ ഗോഗോകുലപതിം ഗോവിന്ദമഭിഷിച്യ സാ അനുജ്ഞാതോ യേവ ശക്രോ ഭൃതോ ദേവാദിഭിർദിവം.
സോ ബേസിക്കലി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ഗോവിന്ദാഭിഷേകം ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇന്ദ്രസ്തുതി ഈസ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് സീൻ നൗ ദ വേഴ്സസ് ആൻഡ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഹൗ ഇന്ദ്ര ഗ്ലോറിഫൈഡ് കൃഷ്ണ. Then Surabhi came there, and at the beginning of this episode we mentioned two different personalities, Indra and Surabhi. Look at their way they have approached Krishna. Two different ways. Indra had needed that purification, whereas Surabhi already had that awareness inside. So here he says here that if this realization comes, what we have spoken so far, and Govinda Abhishekam happens inside us, in each one of us, that means we started experiencing Krishna inside. That's when this Abhishekam happens, when all the thoughts are going and dissolving there. That means the world is not getting inside us. And we start experiencing Krishna's presence inside. And both the mind and the senses are getting dissolved there. You may ask the question, mind can go inside and dissolve. How will the senses go and dissolve? That question can be asked, isn't it? So, the senses you have seen in the Kathopanishad mentioning there. They are doors open outwardly, isn't it? Outwardly. It will not go inwards. So, when it says, both the mind and the senses have to go inside, what does that mean? How will the senses will go? How will they go and dissolve in the soul? Because, how that dissolution happens is, when mind has turned inwards, then everything what you see through the eyes in this world, you will see it is not different from Krishna inside. Remember that realization what Bhagavad Gita talks about. That initially it is Aham Brahmasmi. That Aham Brahmasmi, when it progresses, what does that turn to? You remember when the symptom of a pure devotee was spoken, what was that? What does he say about pure devotee? It says there, if you look into the Ekadasha Skandam, Bhagavadottama, Savai Bhagavadottama, what does he say? What is the beginning of that verse? Why it's not coming out? It's not coming out for me, that's why I'm asking you. Go, eh? First word? Before there's a word, isn't it? This another word. forget that. Yeah, here it is. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyed bhagavad bhavam almana. That's how it is. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyed bhagavad bhavam almana. So, this happens at that stage. Everything what you are seeing outside is Bhagavad Bhavam. Krishna is manifested in that form outside. Whether it is a living being or a non-living being, it is Krishna who is present there. That stage is talking about. And when mind is accepting like that, you can say the senses are gone and dissolved inside. Not otherwise. So, dissolution means, because you can see here that that when the mind goes inward looking, everything what you are seeing outside through the senses and coming into contact with the sense objects, you will see that is also the same Atma who is present inside. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashyet bhagavad bhavam almana. Then bhudani
Bhagavati Esha Savai Bhagavadottama. So you come to that state of the pure devotion. Only with these things you can judge a person. Not by the dress. Dress anybody can get for a few rupees from the market and say that he is this, he is that. That's no good. This state has to come. Sarabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam almana. Bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. So that is how you realize that it is Atma who is present inside as Krishna, is the Vastu who is outside as well. That means there are many things here that goes away. There's only one thing here. That is what ends up is called Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi, Mahavakyam, leads into this understanding. Tattvamasi, that what you are looking for is the same thing what you are seeing outside. That tattvam is tvam asi. You are not different from that. This realization comes. Of course, in Vedantam, these are on a higher level explained through Upanishads. But when it comes to the Bhakti Margam, and when it comes to Bhagavadam, through these episodes, Sri Shukla Brahmarshi is teaching the exactly same Vedantic principle in a way which is easy for us to understand. That means, these many things exist here. That goes away. There is not many things here. There is only one thing. That awareness will come to us. So at the moment what he is saying, mind is telling me everything is different. People are different. Man is different. Woman different. And similarly among men, we have all other kinds of differences, isn't it? White man, black man, brown man, yellow man, all kinds of differences. And also, based on where you are born, you will differentiate people. All these differences, where is this? It's in the mind. Atma doesn't have all these differences. Differences is all in the mind. But once the mind starts going in and starts getting dissolved there, these thoughts are going dissolved, these differences, what the mind is creating at the moment in us, disappears. And then it is Brahma Bhava comes in. Brahma Bhava comes in. So this many exist here that goes away, and always becoming aware of the presence of the Atma, soul inside, and the eyes get used to it. Eyes will not see the differences in the people. Eyes will see the oneness in everything. Instead of seeing the differences, because eyes, when it's seeing some object, what is it seeing? Of course, the scientists will say that it is reflecting through the retina, and it is, there is a lens there, and they have their own explanation to that. That is on a very gross level, isn't it? Everything what the science says is on a very gross level. But on a much more subtle level, if you understand how the eyes are functioning, how eyes are carrying in information, and what impression it's creating in the mind, that subtle side, they haven't got a clue what it is, how it's working, right? So here you can see that eyes will get used to this, that only it is seeing the presence of the soul in the matter. And what did the mind will say? Mind will say that mind normally, what does it do? Based on the vision of the eye, it will say, he is my friend, he is my enemy. That's normally the mind does, isn't it? And this is good, this is bad. And this is smells good, this smells bad. Or this is very beautiful, this is very ugly. That's the way the mind will break up into two, isn't it? So everything what we feel here separate, this is good, this is bad, all this is created by the mind. Atma doesn't have any separation like that. Good and bad, right and wrong, black and white. This duality is a game the mind is creating inside us. So once that mind is gone and dissolved in the self inside, then senses have no more contact with the sense objects. As long as this mind is functioning, only then the senses have any effect on us. If the mind has gone and dissolved inside in the soul, Atma, then the senses cannot play this game anymore with us. And only thing is, the senses will perceive is very independently. That means the senses have come from the grip of the mind completely. With the result is that everything what the senses are working then, even then, whatever the senses are perceiving, it perceives that everything is Atma Vastu. It's only Atma which is present here. And that means good and bad is gone, right and wrong is gone. In other words, this whole creation itself becomes one. There is not many here. Becomes one. Many is not existing. One vastu, that's all that is existing here, and everything becomes one. When it comes to that, that is that verse 24 is saying, Tatra gadastumburu. Tatra gadastumburu naradadayo. Gandharva vidyadhara siddha charana. Jagurya logamalabaham hare. Suranganasam nanudur mudanvita. This thing, what mentions here, that Tumburu, Narada Maharshi, Gandharva, Vidyadhara, Siddha, Charana, all of them, they were dancing out of happiness when Krishna was addressed as Govinda. And they all sang the glories of Krishna, and the demigods, the women from the heavenly planets, they have danced. What does that mean? We will think that, oh, where would they dance? We won't find out. We can take a photo of that in our mobile phone. Like, that's the way our mind will go, is it not? Like the way normally we do. Everything in our mobile, it should be there. So, but here, what it means is this, that then when all these things has gone, we will experience a happiness inside us when these things happen. We will experience that inside us, that happening. Because it is at that time you realize that all my life I have been looking at people or looking at other objects and saying this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is bad, and it has only created ragam and dvesham in me. Nothing else. Nothing else has created. And when these things disappear from inside, this happiness what you are experiencing now, it is that happiness what you are experiencing inside is what is spoken in that verse. Didyadharas, charanas, gandharvas dancing, and the demigods, women are dancing, music, all these things is nothing but the happiness that happens inside at the time when this mind withdraws and dissolves itself, right? So, and this happiness what you have experienced at this moment, you haven't experienced it before. At that point, what else will happen? What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what he said, Sukham and Dukham is not anymore there. Actually, Sukham, Dukham is all mental. Nothing more than mental. It's because we are absorbed in the mind so much, Sukham and Dukham is felt. Anandam, which is beyond Sukham, Dukham, comes from the soul. Once when he is experiencing from that happiness of the soul, Anandam of the soul, these two things called Sukham and Dukham withdraws. It goes away from there. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Sukha Dukha Samaye Krutva. Remember? Lava Manamaya. And people asking, why Krishna is against Sukham? Dukham I can understand. Why is he against Sukham? If I am enjoying, what is he worried about? This is what normally our mind will go. Is it not? Everybody asks that question. I'm not saying something. People ask, always had this doubt about Krishna. Another place he's saying in the 12th chapter, you know what he says? Sama loshtashma kanchana. He says, gold and the stone, you have to see equally. How can you see equally gold and the stone? Gold value is gone up now. It's so high. And you're telling, I have to see equally with this. What does it all mean? It means this, that your so-called happiness, what you are getting through the mind and senses, from Krishna's point of view, is not happiness. It is some temporary experience in the senses and the mind, what you are feeling, which we have taken so seriously that we think that this is the ultimate goal of life. It has come to that stage now. But when Krishna is saying happiness, he is not referring to the happiness from the gold or happiness from anything else. He is only talking about that happiness which comes from the soul. That is why it's called bliss. That's why it's called bliss. Satachita Anandam, isn't it? Why it's called Anandam? Because Anandam, it does not come from gold. Anandam will not come from any other matter, anything like material objects, like that, sense enjoyment. But now in this particular thing you can see, after Govinda, this whole story when you read, you should keep all these things in mind and read this. Only then it will all make some interest to us. So, Sukham Dukham, when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, people are asking this question, why he wants me to suffer? Then some people say, if there is no Sukham Dukham, then what will it be then? They ask the question also, isn't it? There's so many places. And also, when he says to us in the second chapter, Shidoshna Sukadukada Agam Apayin Nityam Tam Tidikshu Subharada. So, question is, how does that verse begin? Matrasparashastu Kaundeya Shidoshna Sukadukada. When Sukham is coming, you have to have an approach like this, that I have to tolerate. I don't have to tolerate, I like Sukham. It's not tolerating Sukham. It's accepting Sukham, isn't it? Who doesn't want Sukham in this world? So, Krishna is saying, Tam Tidikshasva Bharata, tolerate that Sukham also, when the Sukham is coming. So then you start thinking, why Krishna does not want me to have any Sukham in this world? So naturally people ask this question. So it's only because we have not understood what spiritual life is about. Spiritual life is not taking anything related to the mind and the senses as happiness or Sukham. It is all completely put in the bin. From Sukham, from the spiritual point of view, is only that Sukham. Real happiness is the one that comes from the self-realization, or knowing oneself who he is, or becoming that state, reaching that state. That is why it is saying like that. And only when you lose this vision of Sukham Dukham, Samadarshanam will come. Equal vision. Remember, Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Cheva Shavageja Pandita Samadarshina. So, how the Samadarshitvam will come if we are busy with the Sukham? If our whole interest is in Sukham, Samadarshitvam can never happen. So, this state what Krishna is talking about here is that state that Dukham and Sukham both has gone. Only if both has gone away from inside, Samadarshanam will come. Equal vision will come. Otherwise, it won't come. Now, by studying all these things, what is the advantage? Advantage is this. Then you know how far we have to go. What a long way is there to realize the truth, isn't it? We are just thinking that we do a little bit of gimmicks here and get to realize the truth. It is not going to work. There's a long way to travel, isn't it? So, at that time, Krishna is saying, you will experience that Anandam inside, and then that Anandam comes in a person in different forms. And when that Anandam comes, that person, it manifests in him in the form of different ways it can manifest. One, in the form of chanting the holy name. He will chant Krishna's holy name in such a blissful state when that bliss is experienced inside. He will chant the holy name of Krishna. And similarly, he will offer flowers to Krishna. He will dance for Krishna and he will sing for Krishna when all this state happens to us. That is the real time when, like you can see in the case of great devotees, how they did. When realization happens to them, this is how it manifests in that body and the mind. It manifests in that way. And at that time, it will give him different experiences inside, and divine experiences in the heart. And that heart is called Samahitam. Samahitam. Samahitam means that when Anandam develops in the heart in that way, different sounds you will hear from within, and in the Yoga Sutram, Patanjali mentions that when you have that experience of the self within, even the sounds what you hear will be different within. There will be different sounds that you hear. And yogis also says this. Great yogis, if you read the autobiography of a yogi, Yogananda's book, and there are other books also, yogis have written. Patanjali also mentions in the Yoga Sutram that with the advancement in the yoga process, there is likelihood of divine sounds you start hearing inside, within yourself. You will start hearing those sounds. And sometimes people ask this, what these sounds are. There were devotees who were asking Ramana Maharshi about that, about these different sounds, what they were experiencing inside. So that's what that verse is, 24 is all about. That Tatra Agada Stumbura Naradadeyo Gandharva Vidyadara Siddhacharana Jagur Yesho Lokamalapaham Hare Suranganasam Nanandru Mudanyitam Nanandru Mudanyitam. It's like that. So there it is, that verse. Then he says, a person who is experiencing that bliss inside, he will feel as though he has to live this life in this world for the pleasures of others. That means he is showering flowers on everyone, not physically, but through his life in this world. And that stage will come to him. He is no more acting on the platform of the body anymore. He has completely become aware of his spiritual identity. That means all his actions are completely for the benefit of this world. And he has got this state where that discrimination is very clear in him. Everything in this world become favorable to him, and whatever he is doing in this world will be a service to Krishna. And similarly, everything what comes from the world towards him is nothing but as a prasadam for him from Krishna. He has gone so high in his spiritual realization, and that awareness comes to him in that way. At the moment, when we deal with this world, for us now, either it creates ragam or dvesham. Some people who are favorable for us, we accept, we have ragam towards them. But some people who are against us, we have dvesham towards them. Isn't it? So in our current condition state, everything is creating ragadvesham. But in this state, what a devotee has reached, where his mind is dissolved completely in the self, what is happening to him? His very existence is such that everything what he does in this world will be pleasing to everyone, because he is not seeing them anymore in terms of his ahangaram. Ahangaram has given way to him. Atma is operating through that body. Krishna is operating through that body. So therefore, everything what he does here will be for the benefit of the world. And everything what he receives in this world will be pleasing to him, because he is able to accept everything as Krishna's prasadam. Krishna's prasadam, which is a very higher state of realization. So, and so you can only enjoy this world when we have come to this realization. Otherwise, you can't enjoy this world. We will be battling with the world, like we are doing at the moment, isn't it? So that is that universal form of Krishna, what we are talking about. So in order that, till we come to this state, when we are able to see this world as manifestation of Krishna, and able to do everything possible for the world in the sense that as an offering to Krishna, and but instead, if we see different things here, right and wrong and good and bad and all other things, as long as we are working in that plane, you will never be able to enjoy this Krishna's mercy here. When everything becomes an offering to Krishna, then you will see that everything that you are receiving in this world is Krishna's prasadam. Krishna's prasadam. That means everything becomes favorable to us. Everything becomes favorable to us. Though that is what it is saying here. Yasya prasanna bhagavan gunair maitriyadi chari tasmai namandi bhudani namnayam ivasvayam. Upanishad says like that. In this way, loko param drudam, it says that. See that. Tam tushtavur devani kaya ketavo vivagiram schalbuddha pushpavrishti bhi loka param nurbhudhi mapnu vamstrayo gavastada gamanayan payodrudam. Payodrudam. So it says here, that loko param nurbhudhi mapnu vamstrayo gavastada gamanayan payodrudam. All the three worlds, it says here, loka param nirvudhi mapnuvam strayo loka. Trayo loka means all the three worlds. All the three worlds that started experiencing this happiness. What is this three worlds he's talking about? Bhulogam, Bhuvarlogam, Surlogam. Three things we say in the Gayatri also, isn't it? And what all kinds of karma we have? All kinds of karma, whatever we are doing here, will come back with its results, giving us this realization. Karma will also become our realization in such a way that it is fulfilling these desires. Fulfilling these desires. So that means all the objects what is present here, we are not seeing them anymore as objects. It is presence of Krishna there. And everything what we are doing in this world has become Krishna's service. Everything what we are receiving from this world is Krishna's prasadam. That means that duality in us has gone. The duality has gone. And that is that state what Narada Maharshi was in. Ananda samplavo linya na pasya ubhayam mune. Ubhayam means two. That two, existence, the dvaidam has gone. Dvaidam has gone from inside. So when we say, in spiritual terms, that somebody has escaped from dvaidam, means what? It's this. That duality creates ragadvesham, isn't it? What does duality does to us? Ragadvesham. It creates ragadvesham in us. So, till we get free ourselves from this dvandvam or dvaidam, whatever way you call that, it is impossible to free ourselves from ragadvesham. So, you can see with this realization, what's happening? There is no world which is against me. And there is no world favorable to me. Everything that's happening in this world, I'm doing it willingly, knowing very well that it is Krishna who I'm serving in this world. That's one side. On the other side, in return, anything comes to me from this world, I am accepting it, that is, it is only Krishna's mercy and Krishna's prasadam. So the whole consciousness completely changes in a person with this realization. That is what this is all talking about. We have a few more verses in there, 25, 26, 27. We haven't got the time today. We'll continue with that next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So, what is that? We will go into another thing I was thinking about was there's a topic in the Bhagavatam in the this will finish in the third canto, Brahmastuti, Brahma's prayers in the third canto. And Maitreya Maharshi and Vidura, that conversation there. We'll go to that. A lot of interesting things in all that. Brahmastuti. Brahmastuti we have seen in the 10th canto. We have seen Garbhastuti, again Brahma, from Brahma. Now we will see Brahmastuti in the beginning, in the 3rd canto. So Brahma prays many, many times to Krishna at different levels, and each studi has its own purpose. Garbhastuti you have seen in one way, and when subdued by Krishna another way, and now acknowledging Krishna's position in the beginning of creation, how Brahma spoke about Krishna. So we'll discuss that later on, after this is over. Next Saturday, yeah.